works just like gastric bypass. I lost 115 pounds without surgery. I thank Roca Labs, the inventors of the gastric bypass no surgery. I avoided the dangerous and expensive gastric bypass surgery. Nancy invites you to watch the 115-pound weight loss with Roca Labs. Go to gastricbypassnosurgery.com. gastricbypassnosurgery.com.
There will be snow for the Some snow has already fallen in the mountains there, but organizers have been worried that Sochi's warm climate could spell disaster.
That it's better. Well, the better. You're the only thing right. warm, mighty king.
It is that time of season, it's that time of year, it's Christmas, and today's open mic, and I want you to call in and tell us what's on your mind. The number is 347-945-5229, and I want to talk about a couple things that are on my mind today, and Christmas is a part of that. And I had a conversation yesterday, so I'll probably bring this into the equation, about when do you stop being that parent to your children? At what age do you stop just them being your children, they're being your babies, and you start, you know, buying for them, coddling for them? Does that ever stop? So that's my question of the day for today. And I want to put in your ears so that you know we're going to be changing times. Starting at the beginning of next year, don't know exactly what day, but at the beginning of the year, you will find me from 9 until noon here on WSOM AM 600. So check us out then. But I want to throw this into the mix. Christmas is a time of just being with family and giving. And giving is not in the price, and we turn this so commercial. You know, the holidays have become, Americans have made the holidays so commercial. And we have indoctrinated our children for them to think that it's all about Santa Claus. It's all about getting gifts. It's all about doing. And I want everyone to stop and say, you know, it's really not all about that. It's just about giving of yourself and self-sacrifice. Bake a cake. Get some cookies. Give it some friends and family. Have some fun. Enjoy life. But, you know, you don't have to go out and get in debt. That's just crazy. It's not necessary. Do the easy thing. Just be family. Just be one with one another and have some time with them. Love on them. Go find, you know, someone that you haven't seen in a long time, your neighbor, and say hi to them. How hard is that? Hey, again, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic today. So I wanted to bring that to the forefront because I am just, you know, as I go out, I see people in the hustle and bustle, and some people are happy and nice, and then there are a lot of people that are having a hard time with this. They're having a hard time with the holidays, and I just think it just makes sense. And so since today's open mic, I might as well bring this up. The guy who was standing behind the dignitaries who were on the platform for Nelson Mandela's memorial service. They said he's a schizophrenic interpreter who stood feet away from President Obama. Reportedly, he's a criminal, and his criminality has included rape, kidnapping, and they don't know why he wasn't investigated and why they did not know that. But I know that there were people that were concerned about the security over in South Africa leading up to this. So I want to know if you have any thoughts on that. I personally didn't really buy into it. It was bad. Nothing happened, and we're grateful for that. And so since nothing happened and just let it go away, we don't have to deal with it. You only have to deal with stuff when bad things happen. But if nothing bad happened, then it'll be all right. What else is out there today? You haven't heard a whole lot about the spying of Americans lately, and I think we need to have that conversation still, and I don't want us to forget about it because we tend to forget about what people are doing and what America's all about when it comes to freedoms. And if people are spying on you, then you have a small little problem. And that's not America. And so I'm hoping that you guys will not allow things to get, because they tend to, let me say it this way, people tend to brush things under the rug, and we tend to allow them to get a pass, and we forget that they were, we forget what had happened. We forget about the IRS. We forget about Benghazi. We have a very, very short memory when it comes to certain things, and they really, and they change the news cycle so fast so that you don't remember. And so since you don't remember, you don't bring it to the forefront, then it's just another, you know, another day. And when you forget what's happened, you are doomed to repeat it. And that comes from a very, very lax electorate, and we are building one and we are creating one here in America, and we don't want to be that lax. You don't want us to be that lazy. You want to have a very, very proactive, very, very, you want to have insight to what you hear, what you see, and what you're thinking, and what you've been told. I got an email from someone on last evening in reference to the conversations of yesterday, and I want everyone to understand, everyone picking fun about me losing weight, it's okay because they know me, and they know me well enough to know that I'm not offended by any of that, because a lot outside of me not being 20 minutes late to my workout class every week, most of that is all true. I don't act right. I do have 20 pounds of potato chips in here in the studio. That is true. And so I'm very, very tongue-in-cheek. I'm very, very loose. I don't take a lot of things personally because it shouldn't be taken personally, because I know who I am. I know what God created in me, and I know what I'm about. But I got an email in reference to Dr. Mason yesterday and what he was saying about cows, you know, corn-fed and dairy products and beef. I'm going to say corn-fed beef and dairy products. And we need to understand, we have been indoctrinated just to eat what is in front of us because it's food. And I am grateful for everything that I have the chance to eat. I'm grateful that I wake up in the morning, and if I want cornflakes, I have cornflakes, and if I want shredded wheat, I have shredded wheat. Whatever I want, I'm grateful that I have it. And most of us are. But the reason why a lot of our illnesses and a lot of the way things are the way they are today is because we don't pay attention and we don't think about what we consume, what we do. We just do it. So somebody puts a beautiful piece of steak in front of you and we automatically eat it. We automatically eat hamburger. We don't ask what's in it. We don't ask what's around it. We don't know ask how it's got here. We just eat it. And America is becoming a nation that we are the most obese nation in the country. We are not the healthiest among people. And when you are now going into a national health care, you don't want to be unhealthy in that national health care, because if they're not going to treat you as well as you think you should be treated. And so you want to be very, very proactive about your health and what you're consuming and where you're going with it. You want to have a say in it, because if you're not careful, they're going to take your say away. And if they take your say away from your health care, then you have to do what they say. So it's better for you to stay healthy than for you to take your health and put it into someone else's hands. And I'm saying all of this so that you will have this understanding in your mind. We eat a lot of beef, but the beef is called grain-fed beef. Grain-fed beef is not, it's not all, when we say corn, we're thinking about corn on the cob. It's some of the ingredients and the fillers that they put in the grain, they're not quite as healthy for you. It's edible. You'll get full. Things will be great. But it's not as edible as it is if you eat a grass-fed or a grazed-fed beef. Chickens, you know, chickens will eat anything. You put, you know, I have a girlfriend and she raises chickens and she feeds them pumpkins during the fall, and she said, I got some eggs from her, and she said, well, listen, the eggs may be orange because I fed my chickens pumpkins. And so I'm saying, okay, so whatever they eat, we eat. And yes, we need to go to a more mind thoughtful way of what we eat. We just should. Not saying that we all will, and Dr. Mason is not promoting a vegan lifestyle. He's voting a conscious lifestyle. You can eat what you want to eat. He takes the approach of eating the way I take the approach of politics. When we talked about Nelson Mandela the other day, I said, my problem is not with his politics. My problem is that he believes what he believes, and he stood up on what he believes, and he executed it. But at least he knew what he was believing. And it's okay if that's how you believe. If that's your feelings and you believe that to be true, then it's okay for you to do that. My problem is when you're following people ignorantly, not knowing what you believe, but doing it because other people are doing it the same way. And it's the same thing with our eating. If you know smoking will kill you, I would that you would not smoke. But if you smoke, smoke on. But don't smoke and tell me it's good for my lungs. And then I start smoking, you tell your children to start smoking because it's good for their lungs. That's the problem that I have with a lot of this. My problem is that we do things without thinking. We do things without actually encapsulating it in our mind and regurgitating it and focusing in on it and saying, I am this way because this is my belief. This is what I believe. This is what I stand for. This is why I do this. This is why things are the way they are, and this is why I do it this way. I use the analogy, there was a lady who used to cut off the ends of her roast before she put it in the oven. And she was an elderly lady, and so her daughter, she cut off the ends of the roast and put it in the oven. And her daughter, which was this lady's granddaughter, she cut off the ends of the roast and put it in the oven. And so her great-great-granddaughter came along and said, why do we cut off the ends of the roast before we put it in the oven? And so she went to her mom and she said, Mom, why do we cut off the ends of the roast? She said, I don't know. Mom's always done it that way. So she went to her grandmother and she said, Grandma, why do we cut off the ends of the roast? She said, I don't know. My mom did it, and so I've always done it that way also. So she went to her elderly great-grandmother and said, Nana, you cut off the ends of the roast. Why do you do that? She said, because my pan was too small to put the roast in. So I cut off the ends of the roast so I could put the roast in the oven. All those decades, all those years of cutting off the ends of the roast before she put it in the oven was based upon a habit that she had been conditioned to do. And no one else before her asked why. So now she can still cut off the ends of the roast if she chooses to, but now she knows why she cuts off the ends of the roast before she puts it in the oven. And in America, we need to start asking, why are we cutting off the ends of the roast before we put it in the oven? If we still want to cut off the ends of the roast before we do it, that's fine, well and good. It's okay. But at least know why we're voting the way we do. At least know why we're eating how we eat. At least know why we're doing what we do. At least know why things are the way they are. You can continue to believe and to do and to live the way you choose, but know why things are the way they are. And that's the problem that I have across the board. Tracy and Friends is all about making you think. It's all about making you ask questions. It's all about you hearing opposing sides. I don't necessarily want you to agree with me. I just want you to think about what I said and hopefully come up with your own thought process on it. The American dream is all about thinking outside of your environment. America's freedom and freedom of speech is all about thinking outside of your conditioning. So now we need to find out, what are we going to do and why we do what we do, and then make a decision on if we're going to continue to do it the same way. Things happen overnight. We went from a place where the majority of Americans were smokers to now a very small percentage of people are smokers, and a smaller and smaller percentage is growing up becoming smokers because of education. But at one time, everybody smoked, and everybody said smoking was good, so we all smoked. Hey, it's open mic, and I do want to hear from you today. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I want to hear from you during my break, and I will be right back. See you on the other side.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, hazmat crews were called to Andrews Avenue yesterday afternoon after a truck carrying 4,500 gallons of industrial wastewater flipped over. The wastewater seeped into the ground and into the drainage that goes into Crab Creek, but the spill's impact isn't considered major. The solution is made of mostly water. Even so, cleanup crews worked into the night while the EPA supervised. Bristol local schools won't be open today so students and staff can go to the funeral of a retired teacher. 63-year-old Marty Harder died Monday night. Harder taught for Bristol for more than three decades and retired in 2009. She still worked for the district as a substitute teacher. And the state's attorney general wants to toughen up animal cruelty laws. Mike DeWine says he's hearing from police and community leaders that some drug abusers are taking prescriptions meant for their pets and hurting their animals in some cases. Lawmakers are looking into inserting language into a bill to crack down on this kind of abuse. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Sweet deals on News Talk 600. Your chance to try some of the best businesses in our area at a tremendous value. Every Friday morning at 9 a.m., log on to our website to take advantage of half-price gift certificates from our area restaurants, golf courses, spas, salons, and more.
There's something about fresh Mexican food. The aroma, the spices, the peppers. Hungry yet? Then come on down to La Isla's for authentic dine-in or take-out Mexican food. We have all of your favorite dishes cooked fresh to your liking. Everything on La Isla's extensive lunch and dinner menu is homemade fresh daily. Next time you want Mexican, get the real stuff at La Isla Mexican Restaurant on East State Street in Hermitage. Got a Mexican food lover on your list? Get him a gift card to La Isla Mexican Restaurant. Makes a great gift for the holidays.
Sweet deals every Friday morning at 9 a.m. from 600WSOM.com.
Okay, so you own a small business and cash is tight. So what do you do when you need funds? Go to a bank? Yeah, right. Waste a lot of time, send tons of paperwork, only to find out you need to personally guarantee your home, firstborn, and everything in between. Or you can just call Rapid Capital Funding. Yeah, it's fast, simple, with a 95% approval rate. If your business is processing $10,000 or more a month in credit cards, then you qualify. If you need cash for your small business, grab a pen and take down this number or store it in your cell phone. But call 1-800-426-6990. That's 1-800-426-6990. When you call, you will find out how to quickly and easily get cash for your business, up to $500,000 with no collateral or upfront fees. No personal guarantee, and your credit rating is not a factor. Same-day approvals and funds in 5 days. Listen, you have enough to worry about in your business. Take some of the load off and call Rapid Capital Funding and get cash for your business fast. Call 1-800-426-6990. That's 1-800-426-6990. Call 1-800-426-6990.
Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online.
Hey, we're back, and it's open mic, and the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And you guys will find that I'm a big Christmas fan, so if you don't like Christmas, you've got the wrong one, because Christmas is that my favorite time of year, because it's a time that I believe that we've allowed to become too commercial, but it's a time of sacrifice and a time of giving. And you don't, it's not giving of material things, it's giving of yourself. It's just being nice. You should do that all year long, but you should start, you know, by opening up the door and helping somebody else clean off their car, and, you know, taking that coworker, you know, that they like their favorite snack is a Snickers. A Snickers won't break you. Hey, South Carolina, how are you? So they act like they're not out there. Private call, I think, is that Brown? Is that you?
Yeah, Beasley. Good morning.
Hey, Brown, how are you?
Merry
I'm doing
Christmas.
Well. Merry Christmas.
I like Christmas, too. I like Christmas, too. I like the music. I like the whole vibe.
My birthday comes up, and I didn't like Christmas as a child, because, you know, when your birthday is that close to Christmas, you really get cheated. They would even forget to say happy birthday to me. My mom wouldn't forget,
no,
but everybody else that was around me.
That
huh? Would you say
South? You're not getting cheated?
No, I ain't.
Hey, I don't get my birthday is close to Labor Day. I don't get no special treatment because of that.
Well, it's not about special treatment close to Labor Day, but if your birthday is that close to Christmas, you know, if you got a bike on Christmas,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got clothes. You know, we got clothes, but it wasn't. You get cheated on when your birthday is that close. And half the time, everybody forgets to say happy birthday to you because it's slammed between two holidays.
Well, it's Jesus' birthday. It's kind of hard to, you know.
But, you know, God, don't start with that. I'm
it's kind of hard to compete.
I'm mad that they told me that in the first grade, and it really isn't true. But
well, you
that's
know.
Another story. Yeah, it's another story. The way I would look at it, Tracy, if I were you, is that entire two-week period that we're entering into, that they're all celebrating your birthday and Christmas as well, and that your birthday is part of the big celebration.
I mean,
that's one way to look at it.
No, don't get me wrong. Today, I don't. I mean, as a grown woman, I don't care.
Right.
But as a child, it's pretty tough.
Yeah. Nobody gives us grown folks hardly anything anyway. But a hard time. You're happy to get a card and for anyone to remember. Right.
As an adult.
Right.
As an adult, you don't care. You get past it. As a child, it can become a little tough, because remember you don't have your friends from school around.
Right. True.
You mean, so it's Christmas break, so you don't get to see them for a week, for the whole 5, 6, 7 days. It's cold outside,
right.
So it's not like you guys are hanging out like you're in the summertime.
Well,
party's a little bit different.
Depending on where you grew up, it's cold. But I hear you. But I think it's almost like anything else. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but you can. There's always a half full glass somewhere that we should strive to look for.
But I got a question for you guys. And South Carolina, Brown, do you have children?
No, thank goodness.
South Carolina, I know you do. When do you stop treating your children like children? I mean, you know what I mean? Some parents carry their children their whole life. When do you stop carrying them?
When they turn 18 years old and get the heck up out of my house?
No. You don't do that then.
Yes. Tracy, I
no.
Did it when my mom did it. I graduated high school on June 3rd, 1982, okay? Now, I'm happy all about graduation, and she took me to the side and says, okay, when you turn 18, there's two things going to happen. Either you're going to start paying me rent, or you're going to move out. One of the two.
Now, let me ask you this. Is it the same with girls as it is with boys?
Well, can be. It all depends on who the girl is.
No, I'm just talking in generalities. I mean, I'm going to be mommy's baby until I die.
I ain't got no babies.
Oh yeah, you got to keep the baby. I'm a baby for real.
No. I ain't got no babies. you have to understand it, Tracy. We men see it differently. We see it a little bit differently.
But y'all do now. No, you don't, because usually when you have girls, it's totally different.
Yeah, there's two different standards generally.
I mean, I think boys need to get kicked out the house at 18, and you should have raised them so they can be a man. I have a problem when, because girls are different. Girls should, and I'm still from the old school. I think a man ought to come and take that girl from their home or from college, and she can be independent, but she shouldn't be so independent that she feels as though she doesn't need a man for anything except for, moving furniture.
Comfort. I have a niece who is 22, recently graduated from college, was fortunate enough to find a job, and I'm guiding her and helping her reconcile the fact that now you are officially a grown-up, and she's traveled the world and spent 2 years abroad, and now she's in the freezing cold of the Northeast, but she has a job and she's working and she's. I'm trying to help her come to the grips that she's making the transition. That now that you're a grown up, she mentioned that they're taking a lot of taxes out of your check. I said, well, you have to find something that would give you some type of write off. And she said, well, my mother claims me on her taxes still. I said, well, that's going to have to change because you're no longer a dependent. You're an independent. Congratulations. But I don't think she likes the idea of it.
But that's something different. I'm talking about just pure, taking, do young boys get to come home after they get divorced?
Provided they get married. I mean, I can speak for myself. It's not encouraged. But, your folks are there for you, generally, if you've got good folks. And I think even South Carolina would agree. I mean, he seems, takes a hard stance. I don't even think they build him these days at 18 years old to be able to equip to really handle the real world. But that's another story. I would hope that as a parent that, you know, if his child stumbles or has a difficult time and has a difficult time out there, that he'll be there for support, whether it's them staying there or, I mean, it takes more than some advice and some kind words. It's difficult out there, particularly for young people that age. Young people that age are having a hard time getting a job at a fast food place because of the competition. And
that's why it's so important for them to go into the military at that age. It'll give them some pudding. It'll help them grow up. You know, help them make them adjust.
You know, that's nothing that I would choose for myself. And I think for a lot of young people these days, they may even need that. It's unfortunate that it's a perpetual wartime. You don't really want to send your children into war. But, no, it's a good place to get some discipline and some act right.
Yeah, they can join other fans. Misguided children.
Mike, how do you feel about that?
Well, I was thinking about my own case, and you know I'm fairly independent, Tracy. I stand
right
from that point of view, and I agree with Beasley and South Carolina. But I remember in my early 30s once, I was in a relationship, and that didn't end up in marriage. We ended up breaking up. And I did move home with my mother. She was a widow at the time, and I moved home with her. And I was there about maybe 2, maybe 3 months at the most, because at the other location, I also was running my construction company because they had garages there and everything else. So my whole life came apart, and that relationship broke up. I went home, but I was only home long enough until I closed on a building where I could run my company. I bought a warehouse with a 3-family house next to it. And so I was, yeah, and it was good to just be able to have that fallback position, go back to family. But I also pulled my own weight while it was there. I was paying my mother's electric bill and everything else because I figured me being there pushed it up. She had an all-electric house, and I was helping out with groceries and stuff, and my mother and I did a lot of fun things together and stuff. But it was good to have that instant place to go as a fallback position, especially in my situation, not driving and everything else. You know, and I tore my whole life apart, business and everything. So I won't pass judgment on somebody who feels the need to move home. Now, if 5 years later, with a college degree, you're still unemployed, you're not pulling your weight, you're not helping out, something's wrong there. That I will judge.
Well, you know what? Not so blind Mike is my hero.
Okay, well, I'll autograph one of my sweaty T-shirts like that
no,
football player did to
that
little
sincerely.
Kid.
I'm saying that sincerely.
Well, thank
because,
you.
I mean, people don't even have your ability to get out there and not make excuses, and you know you're sight impaired, and that you've been able to do something with your life is a testament to that it can be done, and that I mean it almost makes anything a person with sight, it almost makes anything they say as to why they're not at least supporting themselves, it makes it an excuse.
Beasley, I was blessed, though, because along the way, my father abandoned us when we were little kids. I met other men who thought like you did in, like, South Carolina, that for the time they were crossing my path, be it an employer, be it for somebody whose yard I cleaned up and then took me inside one day and gave me a glass of Coca-Cola and a bag of chips and talked to me for an hour and shared some manhood stuff with me, you know,
right,
which I appreciate. I had a dear friend, he's gone now, and he said to me something I never forgot. He said, Michael, he said, America's a great place. And he said, if one of us can do it, it's proof that any of us can do it. And he said, and what's great about it is, like, and I'll make a modern analogy because he used other ones that most people wouldn't get. He said, like, Bill Gates is the one, okay? I'm not going to go invent a piece of software that's going to go global and make me the richest man in the world. Highly unlikely. But he said, America, you don't have to be the one. You just got to be one of the any, and that's still a pretty good gig.
Yeah,
it
sure is.
Hello, everybody. It's Stanley.
Yes, hey, how you doing, Stanley?
Hey, Tracy. I'm listening to what you're saying and everything. You're all saying great things and everything, but if we don't teach the truth to young people saying just jobs, don't go get a job, which is just over broke. Try to become an owner of something. Try to build something. Don't depend on your diploma or whatever to do something. You know, you're all coming with greatness, but kids are looking at us. young people are looking at us and say, why should I work 20 years and 30 years and I'm not even guaranteed of something? Why should I? When I see people getting left and right, cutting left and right, why should I? When I see that some people don't even have pension or money. Young people are more smarter than you think. I'm sorry to say, we don't tell them the truth, and then we're surprised that they're this way. We don't tell them. Back in the days, we used to be able to tell the truth to young people. Young people come to you and say, fine, show me how to make $1 million. Show me. Show me. And don't tell me
Stanley. I'm not talking about those people that are codependent. I'm talking about, they've moved out. I'm not talking about lazy folks. How this came up was we were talking yesterday, and I was asking a friend of mine, what he was going to get his kids for Christmas. And he said, well, he quit doing that because, now they make more money than me. And I said, who cares? You still want to buy them Christmas gifts because they're your kids. And that's
I don't understand Stanley's comment. Stanley, which side are you debating? One minute you're talking
about the side
about
I'm debating
jobs.
Is that we're
they
not being
be
honest.
Entrepreneurial, and the next minute you're telling them jobs
don't
lead
anywhere. I'm debating they should be entrepreneurial, and we should tell them the truth. We should tell them don't try to get a degree. Don't depend on the business. Don't
do it.
If you don't own up, if you don't own up something, there's nothing you do. You could get fired any day of the week. Stop having somebody else control your financial life, which ruin everything after that. Because if
you
have somebody else,
you can do both things at the same time, like I did. I had a job for the first 7 years while I was starting my own companies. I had a job that gave me a little paycheck. It was poverty living. I only made something like $3,000 a year, and back then that was poverty. But that left me free enough hours a week to get a little business going where I was started my little home repair business, and I was out there picking up an extra, I was up there picking up an extra $1,200, $1,300 a year doing odd jobs and stuff. And, of course, I used that money as the seed money to buy a truck, get insurance, be able to hire somebody sighted to drive for me, being able to buy equipment and tools. And, yeah, it was a struggle. But in 15 years, I was running a company that was doing $9 million a year in business, and it was worth it.
But I did have a college background. But those kids don't have 15 years.
They don't have 15 years. I'm sorry to say, they don't. Stanley, I was emancipated at 19 years old.
They used to be in your
Stanley,
time.
You understand that that
Stanley,
wait,
wait, wait, wait.
Let me make a point. Listen.
Let me make a point.
One at a time. Wait a minute. Because both you and Mike want to get it out at the same time, and we cannot afford to do that. So I need one of you guys to decide to get your point out, and then you make your counterpoint.
Okay. I want to make my point. It's very sad. There used to be a loyalty in companies. There's not anymore. Companies is all about business, about profit. If they come to a point that they need to fire your ass, they won't. They used to be that people used to stay 30 years in a job and used
Stanley,
to be
you're
loyalty.
So wrong. I was raised
no, no,
on
no, no,
Mike,
wait,
Mike,
wait, wait, I'm not so
Mike,
wrong because people
Mike.
I'm not so wrong because there used to be people that they used to retire at GM. There used to be people who retired at all those before. Remember those companies? Remember Detroit?
Did you ever hear of Waterbury, Connecticut, the city that saved the United States during the Second World War because of the brass industry? By the time I was growing up, half those factories closed. I stood there at 18 years old holding on to men in their 60s crying because the company they'd given 36 years of their life to closed 6 weeks before they were going to retire. And they got a $3,000 lump sum check and told, go live on that till you die.
But I think both of you guys are missing the point. My question was,
I'm correcting Stanley first. I agree with
you. But you can't listen. Both of you are missing the point because in some areas he is right. You can't. You don't walk out of high school, go into a job, and think you're going to get a pension at the end.
Exactly.
And yes, there were companies at one time that were a whole lot more loyal than they are right now. Right now, you don't even know if the company is going to be existing next year.
But they were
exactly.
loyal to workers who worked and didn't have an attitude.
No,
Listen, there are companies, most companies today, it's some things are not even about. Unions tore up how well you work. Because remember, you had to get rid of seniority.
Yeah.
Before you
and
got
that's
rid of
what
quality.
I was my next point. That was my next
but
point, Tracy.
But everything he cited
was a union company. Unions
but not
are what
necessarily.
Screwed up the deal.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, because there are some, remember, unions, a lot of times, unions came into business because of greedy business owners.
Exactly.
We can't take away
you.
That.
Yeah.
Not all business owners are integritous.
Exactly.
We need to be honest about that.
And some businesses
are
about shareholders.
And
some businesses are about shareholders. They don't care about the employees. If the shareholder
not
doesn't
even,
get the same,
Stanley,
the same money that they deserve,
don't care of your shareholders,
they don't care.
You go to jail. You go to jail.
No. Wait a minute. Mike, what happened to the shareholders with General Motors?
Exactly.
That's
that
program that screwed them on
nothing.
That bankruptcy.
What happened to the shareholders at United Airlines? Stocks worthless, companies bankrupt, and these are people that have put long periods of time. I get what Stanley's saying, and Stanley.
I get what both
point.
Of them are saying, and what I'm saying, both of them are making a valid point. But my question was,
mm-hmm.
Do you still pamper your children? Go ahead, Sticks. I know you do.
Well, yeah, I do. I do. You know, sometimes you got to step in and get them out of a death spiral.
Right.
You know, I mean, I hate to say that because I agree with South Carolina on the way it ought to be, but at some point you have to step in and get them out of a death spiral.
That's what good daddies are for.
What's that?
That's what good daddies do. They do it with a lesson. They do it with a lesson. And usually,
right.
If you're coming up, you learned because it's going to come with a lot of words and some consternation and some finger pointing and everything.
Well,
they're going to help you, but you're going to be beholden to them, and you have to listen to them. And hopefully, as a young person, growing up, that you don't want to hear anybody
One at a time. Sticks does not talk as fast as you.
I stopped.
Hold up.
I'm sorry. I stopped.
Go ahead, Sticks.
Well, yeah, I mean, irregardless, if, you know, we just had a situation in our family where we had to step in and stop a death spiral, but there was some very, very stringent rules that went with that stop of the death spiral. And if those rules are broken, the death spiral will be allowed to continue. Okay?
And see, my issue is, do you still buy them Christmas gifts? Do you still coddle them?
Oh,
do you still buy them birthday gifts?
I would never think of not getting one. No matter what, I mean, if one of my children was a heroin addict living on the street, I would still get them a little something for Christmas.
Yeah,
and,
You don't retaliate against your children.
No, I'm talking about your 35-year-old kid that's who's making a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. They make more than you, you know.
Yeah.
I've got one of those. Let me ask you this.
Hopefully.
When you have grandchildren, does that change?
No. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, even in retirement, my mother gave me gifts. Now, not that she could have, you know, give anything lavish, but she would give me like a pair of gloves. She knew I worked outside in the winters, or she'd give me a hoodie or something like that. And to me, those were very special gifts because she wasn't giving because she had a lot. She was establishing and maintaining, and never stopped maintaining the parental relationship. She was my mother. Her job, she took it seriously till the day we put her in the ground, that her job was to take care of her blind son somehow.
And the number,
to the best of her
the number 347-945.
In the winter, that was it.
The number 347-945-5229. That's the question.
Yeah.
My mother buys me flannel shirts every year for Christmas. She has since I was 22, since I came home from the Navy.
Yeah.
So,
every year, two flannel shirts.
So there doesn't come a time where you stop doing that.
No.
Hey, the number 347-945-5229. That's my question.
And even my father-in-law, God bless him, he's gone now, but he was Jewish, and he would come to me at Christmas, and he knew that we celebrated Christmas being Christians, and he would come to me, and he said, I can't do this officially, but here, I bought you a brand-new wallet, and here. And he put $100 in. He said, a man should always have at least $100 in his pocket. Now, he died at 80 years old, darn near broke. He did that for me just a few years before he passed, you know? And parents love their children. It's just that sometimes part of love is discipline. And I'm sure Stick gets on his kids.
Well, it's supposed, I mean, we're not talking about discipline. I'm talking about because it's Christmas time.
Yeah,
and we were having this conversation, and someone told me that they don't do for their adult children anymore.
But then my next question is,
do you still do for your children when your children don't call you? I mean, you got kids that are too busy for their parents.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
You got parents that are too busy for their kids too.
And you also have situations where there's estrangement between siblings and parents, and there's no contact at all.
Yeah,
that's foreign to me.
For whatever reasons.
No, it's real. Sometimes.
Yeah, I understand. But I'm just saying, I can't relate.
Sometimes, if you can't have peace or agreement, and every time you meet or talk, it turns into an issue or a problem for whatever reasons. Sometimes it's better to keep the peace and keep some distance.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hi. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you today?
I'm good. I just turned on the radio, and it's a topic that is exactly what Brown just said. My adult son has not spoke to me in 2 years.
Wow. And
it's very, very hard at Christmas time. You know, it's his birthday, you know, all those things. But I still buy for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrap the gift, and I pack it away, and someday when I'm gone, you know, and everything is divided between he and his sister and my three grandsons, those packages will be there, and that's what it's going to be.
That's a good plan, Bonnie. I like it, except I would write him out of the will and give his share to charity, and then he'll find the gifts and realize he really
should. Why would you do that, Mike?
Mom. You can write him out of the will.
But why would you write him out of the will?
Well, actually,
because obviously
Tracy,
he doesn't need her, and that's his
actually
attitude.
Tracy. My adult children aren't in my will. I did exactly biblical. It says to grandchildren. Mm. So my and you know it leaves on to my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And right now I have three grandsons. I had two step grandchildren, and they too have kind of, you know, they don't speak to me anymore. So I did have to change my will because I had five. Actually, when I first started calling your show, I made a comment. I had five grandchildren, and I really did feel they were my own. But, you know, things happen, you know,
yeah,
and
things happen.
And, you know, but, you know, I remember my mother. We had a little one that was born out of wedlock to one of my brothers. And this story is just so special because my mom passed away in 2008, and every single year she bought this little girl a baby doll, and we didn't know it. The packages were dusty, and they were in the closet, and there they were for her after all those years. Every
wow.
year she bought her a doll. And, you know, it was just, it made me think, you know, mm-hmm. and... You know, and I love my family. I mean, that's the reason I get up in the morning. And my parents told me the same thing. They said, you know, without the children, we have no purpose, you know,
right.
to get up in the morning. They make life fun. They you know.
Oh,
so,
Bonnie, I was engaged
yeah.
to a girl who died many years ago, so we never finished getting married. She had three children. I'm still in communication with these children. It's many, many years. They're in their late 40s now, these kids. I would encourage you. Everything you're doing is great, but put a card in the mail on your son's birthday and just let him know it's from mom. You don't have to get syrupy. You don't ask for him to heal the relationship. Just let him know what the relationship
I don't even
is.
Know his address.
Wow.
I truly don't
okay.
know his address because I have thought of that. Just to send a card without even signing it, you know,
mm-hmm.
if that was going to be too offensive.
Go ahead and
but
sign it.
But you know what?
No, sign it as mom and maintain the fact that you're still the mother and you still care. And just mm-hmm. because it's the drip method, the old Chinese water torture, it will weigh on his heart, and the day will come then where they will find all these presents someday, and he will realize mm-hmm. that you will have mm-hmm. made him better for the experience. He will realize, and maybe he'll tell his children not to hold bitterness and to move on and to be forgiving
wow.
and to remember the relationship. You might teach him something.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. But, you know, Tracy, yesterday, I'm telling you, I've decided I'm going to have to do something. Because are you going to be 50, did you say?
Yes.
Is that what you're going to be? Okay, I'm going to be 60. So, see, we still have the same plan. I'm just headed to 60. You're headed to 50, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
That's correct.
I'm going to start. I'm not going to join a gym because I don't like those mirrors, and I don't like that stuff. You know, I don't like that stuff. But you know what? I can do something else, and I'm going to start. And I started this morning, so I'm.
Going?
You shamed me. You shamed me. It's not that I'm not going to want chocolate-covered almonds or anything.
Listen, I got to take a break, but they shamed me into making sure I got to the gym last night.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
I want to talk to Bobby off air here in a second because I have something to say to her about being shamed of mirrors. Body,
yeah, hey, Tracy,
you don't like them on the wall. You prefer them overhead.
Tracy,
I don't like mirrors at all. I really don't.
You, sweetheart. I'm teasing you.
I know. I don't like them at all.
Mike
Amish
probably
thing,
has a
you know?
Different attitude about mirrors than the rest of us.
Yeah.
And they're really insignificant.
I'm afraid someday my sight will be restored and I'll look in the mirror. I go, who's that old
hey.
Man that stole my body?
Well, you know, there is really a true thing. You guys can do it with a mirror. And it's kind of spooky. I mean, it's if you cover one side of your face with a piece of, you know, like a construction paper or whatever.
Yeah.
And you look at one side of your face, divide it halfway down and look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the and then do it to the other side, you know, left and right. You
uh-huh.
will see an amazing difference.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And when I was a woman that I was working for and her house was just, I've worked for some real eccentric people, and it was over the top. And she had these candles by every single mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a spooky, eerie type kind of thing, because they'd flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I was passing through the house and working, it would look like it was someone else in the house, because, you know, I'm passing by real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day she came in and I said, what is it with all the mirrors and the clocks and the candles? And she said, well, it's a difference. Have you ever divided your face? And I was just shocked. I was just shocked. I never knew that.
That's why professional people always say they have their best side for the camera, because you look like two different
mm-hmm.
people. And I've had professional photographers rate some of the people that we used in advertising campaigns and stuff. And one side absolutely drop down dead beautiful, and on the other side, average. Male and female, I'm talking about. It's not, we weren't just the
mm-hmm.
instructions there, but
it's
know,
amazing.
Yeah, it is.
So
it
I
really
just,
is.
I've never been a fond person of mirrors. And the other reason is, you know, you guys who hear me, I clean for a living. I clean houses, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is inevitable that people want to touch a mirror, want to touch a door, want to touch the glass. You know,
right.
you just can't.
Yeah.
So it's something that people just, you know, they put the handles on the doors, but they don't touch the handles. They touch the door.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just the way we humans are. So, but thank you. I will put a card in
yeah.
the mail. Now, Mike, do you have children? You
No, I have stepchildren.
And what about Brown? Do you have children? I don't
no
know how
children.
Many people's on.
No children. I have no children. I have a niece. I have a niece, and I have a goddaughter that are. Hopefully, they'll be around when I'm old, if I make it to
yeah,
old.
Yeah, and I did hear Styx on there, and I know he has children, and yeah, I have three grandsons.
He can secede from the union. sick.
I don't have any regrets either.
Hey,
and
Bonnie.
Most of my friends are, you know, they have grandchildren now, and they have children. But I listen to the things that they go through, and it's not easy.
Oh, they're tough.
It's not easy, and all kinds of things happen, and all kinds of situations, and all from not liking the mate that they chose to, I mean, it just seems like it's hard to find some peace, and I like peace.
When your children go through painful things, you go through them too.
Mm-hmm.
And when your grandchildren go through those painful things, you go through that too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess when you, you know, take on that, when the parenthood strikes you or, you know, someone makes a decision to make you a parent, then it just changes your life completely. And grandchildren, I would have never guessed it. I would have never guessed how it changed the way I felt about family. And of course, I'm raising my two, you know, we've talked on the show, so. The 16 and the 15-year-old I'm raising. So,
Bonnie,
you know.
If you want to locate your son, get a hold of Tracy to get my private number. I don't want to go into a lot of stuff, but there are ways that you can track people and find out where they're living and stuff. Okay?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just don't want to get into it here.
Your son has a brother? You have two sisters.
No. I have two birth children, a daughter who's disabled and a son.
Oh. No, that's how my dad stays in touch with me through my brother.
Say that one more time.
That's how my dad stays in touch with me, or he'll send an email every now and then.
So you've had a falling out with your father.
Yeah.
How many years ago?
Oh, here we go. There's been a couple of periods of estrangement, but probably this time around, maybe 3 or 4 years. And he's getting older. He's cantankerous. He's argumentative. The sad thing is that when he was younger, he was a happy-go-lucky, friendlier type of guy. But he's really a grumpy dude. And I think he's always been a little grumpy, but I think now that he's in his, you know, early 80s, really a grumpy dude. And his wife, my stepmother, is completely disingenuous, fake, phony, and lies. It's more her that I fear than him, or more her that I avoid. But they've been together 40-something years, and he's about as loyal as, you know, he's extremely loyal.
Yeah,
he's so loyal to her that he, you know, her whims are more important than my serious concerns.
Yeah,
and it's just better to avoid it. She's done some things that are so deceptive and so tricky, and then when you call her on it, and a lot of times you let it go, but when you call her on it, she won't come clean, and you'll have all the facts and all the evidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're not looking for an argument. And if I'm going to be around people that are considered family, I don't want to have my guard up. I have to have my guard up for the whole world.
How does your father feel about the relationship, though? Is he happy?
About the relationship with her?
Yeah.
He's 80-something years old. She's younger than him. They've been together for 40 years.
No, I understand but does it work for him? Because I know several situations like that among some close friends of mine, one of which was in Ohio, who's got a father.
Yeah, it works for him. I guess they're compatible. I mean, yeah, they've been together all this time.
So, and in that, you just got to kind of shake your head and say, hey, if it works for him, it works for me, you know?
Well, I actually feel sorry for her because he's a handful.
I'm sure he is. He's a lot like his son. I'm sure.
He's a handful. He's a piece of work. I mean, I just let them be.
Yeah.
But I do. I will send birthday cards.
I got to drop off the line a second. Duty.
But
call.
I will send birthday cards over the internet. And but it's an unworkable situation. I have to look out for myself and my peace and my sanity and my well-being. And she is not a person that takes any of that into consideration, and she's sly and deceptive. And this is the choice that I choose to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
It's thought
yeah,
out.
That's,
it's, It's well thought out. It's well thought out. And I'm not angry anymore. I'm just careful. That's all.
Mhm. Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, talk with him again. But he's with someone that sounds very much like your stepmother, and.
Your daughter-in-law probably has a lot of control.
I see things. My son never was in. Any kind of, he was mischievous. He was a boy, but never anything criminal. And I see, hey, I'm back, and you're from Christian Friends
here on WSOM AM
600. Oh, I'm glad we were off the air. I thought I was saying that on the air, but I don't care.
5229, and it is 9 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on the 13th of December. Wow. Hey, guys, how you doing? It's open mic. So you guys behaving in there?
Absolutely.
Gosh, we're doing more than behaving. We're having like a therapy session. I'm glad. I thought that we were on the air. I'm glad it wasn't on the air. Maybe some people heard it. Oh well. No, we're just talking about the unworkability of some of these family situations. And I'm pretty firm in where I am. She was kind enough to listen, and she understands because there's a similarity in her situation. Go ahead.
But let me ask you this. Are those of us who are not married, like you and I,
uh-huh.
or should I say those of us who don't have children like you and I, are we a little bit more non-compassionate than those that are?
Compassionate towards life and
non-compassionate, because when I – oh, it is Friday the 13th, isn't it, Voight? When I look at children, I am a no-nonsense kind of girl. But then I don't have children of my own, so I really don't know what I'd do. Because I have a lot of friends, and their children, you know, for what they do for their children and what they've done for their children and how their children treat them, I wouldn't turn my back on them. I wouldn't be there for them. But I would not put up with what they put up with and what they do. Absolutely not. And I'm asking, am I saying that from the cheap seats?
No, I concur. I concur. And maybe it's a generational thing, and the type of, you know, restrictions and the strictness or the structure that I had growing up with my folks, and the way I see these kids get away with everything, but benefit everything. It bothers me.
I'm like you guys. You guys are saints. Now, Bonnie, I would not put them out of the will. And I would still hold on to the Christmas gifts, but they don't understand. They got to come this way before I got to go that way.
I didn't put them out of the will because of meanness or anything like that.
Mike said put him out of the will.
Mike said take him out of the will. Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
But if he was in the will. I don't put my children in the will. Only my grandchildren. I'm at the recycling
center, which is a little bit different.
Right.
But mine is, you know, I'm all about, I'm due for you because I love you. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put you out the will. But before you come here, you're going to hear what I have to say because it's my house, my rules.
Well, that's how most parents are.
I have boundaries, Tracy, and I'm probably a lot like my father in that way. My father had boundaries, so did my grandfather. I remember my brothers, when they wanted to grow that hippie long hair, my grandfather said, you guys can't come here. And my brothers were, you know, they looked like Patrick Swayze, you know. My brothers were
good looking.
Really, you know, they were Patrick Swayze kind of guys. And they we're cooler than cool. And my grandfather said, that's it. You know, I'm sorry. I don't care if you are the hunk of the universe. You're not coming here till you get your hair cut. So my brothers stayed away. And it's strange because now you see them as adult men, and they are all clean-shaven, you know. grow a little mustache once in a while, but their hair's all trimmed. It's strange. You know, you just do that. They just did it because they were kids, and that's what kids were doing. But my grandfather held firm, and
I think that's a little. I think that's a little much long hair. Now, I mean, if I compare that to what I see kids today that are putting piercings on their face, they're putting piercings on their face and tattoos on their
body.
But
you couldn't come in. But you couldn't come in. I mean, as a person living in my house, some of these things you couldn't come in my house with. I mean, you can visit, but you can't live there.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
can't live in my house.
If you're under 18 in my house, you go by my rules, and if you don't like my rules in my house, then you must leave.
Well, even if you're over 18, you have to abide by the
rules. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But so if you come in there with tattoos down your face and down your arm, it's time for you to move, because you're going to know how my feelings about it. You're going to know the rules before you go and do it.
They pierce their face. They put piercings on their face.
You can't come.
Their lips.
Like I said, maybe this is because I'm from the cheap, you know, from the old school, and I'm living in the cheap seats because I don't have children. But
we're the same age, and I agree with you. You're not saying anything outrageous.
I do the same thing, Tracy.
Everybody's going to work in my house.
No tattoos, no piercings. When he turns 18 and he has his own cell phone and his own car insurance, you know, if he wants to do crazy, then he'll pay for crazy, but he won't have it in my house.
And you can't.
It's not
going to
happen.
No, not going to happen. And now I'm looking at him, he's not allowed
to break curfew. I mean, he pushes the buttons, you know, but he has a consequence to pay, and it's not very nice.
No. And I don't know why parents haven't taken their homes back.
It makes things, you know, it really shows the kids that you love them. I don't understand why parents don't either, Tracy, because when you just let a dog run loose, you know, you don't love that dog. You get hit, whatever, you know, on the road or get killed or whatever.
Right.
You do the same thing with your children. I mean, children aren't dogs. I don't mean that. But, if you love something, you take care of it. And you don't let it do
you
the
train
thing.
It. You navigate it so they don't get hurt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you just don't – it's discipline is love.
But there's a difference between discipline and overprotective also. There's people who do that.
That's true, too.
You know, there's people who say discipline and they cover their kid for everything in the world, and then real life comes in, and then the kid's something bad happening in his life and he doesn't know how to deal with it. Because you protect so much of life that he's like, I don't know how to deal with this.
I have a problem when I see babying. Everybody in the house ought to have a responsibility.
Right.
Right,
and if they don't have, I mean, everyone from the dog barks when somebody comes to the door. Everybody has a responsibility, and having people just sit around the house and one or two people be the only one working. I watch Wife Swap every now and then. There's some crazy people living in some crazy ways.
Tracy, that's the reality. That's the reality. I have female friends that I'm in touch with that have kids. They said, I just got home from work. I have to wash these dishes. And I'm like,
why?
So you mean to say the 19-year-old's been playing video games and he hasn't washed the dishes? Well, he was over there with his girlfriend. I said, you mean the both of them couldn't take the time to wash the dishes? That's not that hard. There's a dishwasher.
You know
but
what?
No, you're right. It takes teamwork to make a household work. And
that might be why I'm not married.
Because...
Because when people come to my house, even to see me, they get put to work, too.
No one is exempt.
Well, she's going to work and supporting the whole house, and she's tired when she comes home from work. And she's supporting young adults.
When I see these moms, and they tell me how hard it is for them to be a single parent, and I don't understand when you got teenage kids. Teenage children are you got your housekeeper, your landscaper, and your cook. What's the problem here?
I did that work from 8, 9 years old. So.
And whoever whoever cooks, the other person washes dishes. And that used to be the rules of the house. You never took trash out. What parent actually carries their groceries in? Why would you do that and you have teenage children?
I don't understand that. And young adult children. And
that's,
particularly
oh,
this
no.
last generation, this last generation of kids that are 25 and under, which I guess would be most of our friends' children would be that age, they know how to do nothing. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. I don't know who the heck's going to take care of them. There's going to be a bunch of messy houses and bad pot pies or whatever automatic food the people would cook. I shake my head at it.
Just letting kids lay around all day long just doesn't work for me.
Well, Tracy, I always say, because I have a 16-year-old, and, he thinks king is something he's going to be goal, and it's not going to happen. But he, if he's not in sports and he doesn't keep his grades up, he's working after school. Because if he wants
Absolutely.
To be, if he wants to not pull his grades up and study, well, then he'll study, he'll study an occupation. And I mean, it's not a week we're going to wait around. No. When you make a decision to do any one of those things, it's a 24-hour, and then we're going to make a change to, and you've got a little bit of time to find it, and then I find it for you. And he has learned that it's a whole lot easier to find his own way than letting me find it, because he doesn't like what I find. And see, that's the other thing. You can... It's not manipulation for children or young adults, but if you give them consequences that they don't like and they can make their own choice in their own way, it might not be exactly what I would do, Tracy, if I were a teenager, because I've grown up in a different time. I might try something else. But if they'll try it their own way, he can do that for a while. And, my autistic one holds down a job.
But and that's what I'm saying. Mike is blind and
he
works.
Job.
I think everyone's supposed to contribute to the family and what we've done today. And the reason why I'm asking you is because I'm watching people coddle their children as adults. And I'm watching them not coddle their children, them not steering them as young people. I mean, how do you have people living around your house and you're going to work but nobody else is doing anything all day long? You should come home to nothing.
Right. Well. Right. I know someone. I know two women that do that, and one has one child, and the other one that's 15, and he has no chores. They live in a nice, beautiful townhouse, and she just does everything but complains about everything. I was like, why don't you teach him how to do this stuff? He can do it. You complain about
him. Teach him how to do.
Give him some chores. Because that used to be our excuse when we were kids, and we don't know how to do it. But my stepfather would teach us.
But we used to take the trash out when we were kids. You knew that every evening you had to pull up all the trash from around the house and take it outside.
You knew that
in the wintertime that you were going to be shoveling snow. You knew that in the summertime you were going to be cutting grass. You knew that you were going to be dusting. Saturday morning was a day of dusting, cleaning the bathroom, cleaning your room, and cleaning the kitchen floor.
I still do it.
After
Saturday
dinner,
morning.
You always wash clothes. You always wash dishes. If you had to go to the laundromat, everybody went. I mean, I don't understand how we have all these conveniences, but yet our young people know nothing. And here we are at Christmas time going in debt, buying stuff that they don't need, allowing them to talk to them any kind of way, and thinking that it's okay.
That's all unacceptable in my eyes.
I have new statistics out. The United States now in math and science, the last time they did this, we were number 19 in the world. We are now number 36 in math skills and English skills. We're behind the Slavic Republic.
They speak English. They speak English.
They
do
speak
better
English
grammar
better
there.
Than we do.
Or
where
better
they're more literate
grammar.
In English than our own damn children. Oh, excuse me. Darn children. Sorry, Tracy.
Hey, 267, your mic is on.
I just wanted to say I think in some circumstances you have families in which the parents don't do enough. I know of situations in which the father was not in the home and the other parent was sickly and all the responsibility fell upon the grandparents to take care of the children. And as a result, when you're dealing with males, sometimes they need a strong male figure in the home to give them some type of structure. So what happens is they may go out at the age of 15 and get a job after school, and then they don't know how to, you know, once they reach a certain age, like 18 or 19, and maybe they've completed high school, maybe they've started the school at a junior college, they don't have that structured parenting in their background to help them make the right types of choices.
And what I'm saying is, don't you think that comes from us coddling our children too close to the fist when they were coming up? Even as grandparents, I watch grandparents not rebuke their grandchildren like they did their children. I don't understand that.
Your car will look.
But what I'm saying is that in those circumstances, the children weren't taken care of early on, and basically they almost had to raise themselves. So that's what I'm saying is you have kids out here today who haven't been parented at all.
But see, Mike, I'm talking about the ones who have been parented. I'm talking about the ones who they may be living with grandma, but they've been living with grandma since they were born. They never left grandma's house.
But sometimes
some of the things that I hear children say to adults today, it makes me cringe, and I know I would be in jail. You can't even come visit my house.
But sometimes those reactions come about because people get their value system from the street, so they don't have that same type
again
of moral value system as other people because
yeah,
they haven't
be
been
true
parented properly.
But that's still, but anytime we brought in anything from the street into the house, we were corrected quickly, very quickly.
And my question is, why would I allow the street in my house?
Because the reason why they allow the street in their house because they don't have parents in their house, they don't have structure in their home.
That's part of the problem. How far back does this go?
Young children today, they don't have that parenter.
How far back does this go?
He's talking about a generation that's in between what we're talking about. And I know, and he's coming. I understand where he's saying, and that exists too. And it's, I don't know. I would put it at a lower socioeconomic group. You have to take into consideration. I think John will agree that crack and drugs, you know, wiped out a good portion of people, or made them very ineffective parents or absentee parents, and that's why you have the grandparents stepping in. And I can see why grandparents would be, you know, they just don't have the energy or the strength to fight every battle with these kids. So, go ahead.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, you beautiful girl.
How are you?
Good. This is Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi. Merry Christmas to all you wonderful folks. I'm enjoying so much this conversation. I was going to say I learned from beautiful parents that Christmas is not limited to one day a year, and you give gifts of love whenever they're needed, and they're always appreciated. And we did not have a lot of big celebration at Christmas time. We had, you know, I guess we needed things for the year, we got them, but we always felt kind of a letdown at Christmas because that worldly pool, you know, you want to be sitting there opening up all these presents. When you get to school, your friends are all, you know, talking about what they got. And I remember I told my mom, I said, you know, I wish, she said, would you rather that I got you like nothing through the year and, you know, gave it to you at Christmas? And I said, well, no, not really. And she said, well, then, you know, she says, I want you to think about giving gifts of love all year through. And I think, you know, that's the thing. When you help somebody, like your children, if you help them out by giving them some gas money, if you help them out by giving them some money so they can, you know, go out to eat with their friends or, you know, whatever, those, to me, are Christmas. Because everything, you know, from my perspective, every good thing we do is because of the influence of Christ. But I wanted to tell you a very special Christmas that I had. There was a young lady in our church that had spina bifida, and she was a poster child for the March of Dimes campaign. She was adopted by an older family in our church. And one year there was a wedding, and her mother, who was a widow, caught the bouquet. And this young girl, just about 30 years old, she said, "Oh, Mother," she says, "I wanted to catch the bouquet." And she says, "I've always wanted one." So the Lord laid it on my heart at Christmas to wrap up a bouquet that I had caught at a wedding years back. And I put it in a box, and she was so excited that she got a bouquet. And in it, I wrote a little note, and I told her someday her prince would come. Unfortunately, very soon after that, she became ill. She was having respiratory problems, and she passed away. It's an emotional thing for me, but her mother put that bouquet in the casket with her and the little note that I wrote. And her mother said her prince didn't come to her, but she's going to her prince. And she asked me if I wanted that back, and I told her no. But, you know, I wanted that to go with her. So I think the beauty of this season is to really be in touch with people. And when they tell you something that would be special to them, if you have any way, you know, to make it possible, sometimes it's a treasure that we don't understand its value. And I just thought I would share that little Christmas story because it really touched my heart. You figure I gave, you know, very little, but it was something that that girl really needed.
That, but you know, that's what Christmas is all about. And let me say this: when you look at giving, what we've done, and we need to take responsibility for what we've done as society. Because we point our finger and say, well, you know, they're raising their children bad. But if you look at your, if you look around at your family members, you got nieces and nephews that you don't want to see come to your house. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to rock the boat, we go along to get along with them during the holidays.
That's why I have five dogs.
You know? And so what I'm saying is we need to really be honest about what we're doing. There are people out there, and I'm saying I would rather give a bouquet of flowers to someone that I caught.
Right.
Because they needed it and because there was a need there.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the year.
Yes.
But don't go into debt on some bad kids of your own, your grandkids, your great-grandkids. They don't appreciate you. They don't respect you. They don't.
Right.
They act like they love you, but they have no form of love around you. And that you go out and try to buy their affection because you don't have time for them.
Well, see, I think it's all about making a memory. You know, I think it would be better to take your grandchildren to the library and look up some books.
That's not going to cut it. If you don't have the respect of them when you leave the library, if they're going to suck their teeth, roll their eyes, and treat you in disregard and disrespect because you took them to the library, you might as well keep them at home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm old-fashioned. I look back and I think, you know, when we went together to cut down a Christmas tree, you know, how special that was. When we, you know, would go Christmas caroling in the neighborhood.
When's the last time you saw somebody going singing anywhere in your neighborhood?
Well, I did it with a group of friends from church.
Actually, Tracy, we still have a family that does out here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
you. What did you say,
Bonnie?
Yeah,
there's a family. There's a family of, you know, we live in the country, so there's a Mennonite family that has 11 or 12 members in their family. I mean, their husband, wife, and children. And they go around at Christmas time, and they carol.
And how many people have seen that this year? Hey, how about you, Mike? Have they been to your house?
Caroling?
Yes.
No, because where I live, I'm very rural, and I'm up at the end of a quarter-mile-long private driveway out here.
Hey, Stanley.
Farmland.
They've been in your house? They've been to your house yet?
When I lived in the city, we did it until we moved here, okay?
Mike, yeah. I ain't asking you for a dissertation. I'm asking about 2013.
Nope.
Brown, they been
no,
to your house?
No,
Stanley?
They haven't been to my house. Nope.
I live in the inner city. Nope. They haven't been to my house either.
Yeah. I think,
how about
know,
you, John?
Think...
Hey, Philadelphia, they been to your house?
No, they haven't been to my house. Because, like I said, you know, like if people live in the inner city, they're not going to come certain places in the inner city. They're too afraid.
Why they knock on my door when they're trying to sell something?
Yeah,
they knock on my door when they campaigning for something.
Patrice,
they knock on my door when they want something.
You get a neighborhood Christmas party.
I ain't getting nothing together. I got enough to get together.
No,
I'm just trying to get to work.
Do they do that in your neighborhood? Because that's what we do here. We'll get together with the, and this probably covers a half-mile radius around the house here. We'll get together on Christmas Eve, all of us, and exchange presents in the community.
No.
Okay.
You're doing good if you're going to wave out your neighbors. We live in the inner city.
Well, maybe we should have a Tracy and Friends group to go quick Christmas caroling.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go, Tracy. There
you guys
go.
Are starting on a new project. I got enough.
You know, we went to the hospital 1 year. And I remember when we went on the maternity floor, we sang, "What Child Is This?" And the mothers came out, you know, with their new babies crying.
No.
Yeah.
You guys are special.
Just we used to carol for the older people, the ones who were alone and stuff, and we'd go stand out on their porch and carol. And we were in our 40s when we were doing that in the old neighborhood.
Mike, you're 70 now. That's 30 years ago.
70.
It doesn't
Don't
count.
Push. Well, I'm going to start calling you 60 if you're going to call me 70.
Hey, Tracy,
yeah, Bonnie?
There's a story that is really, it's really a cool thing to do. You save your change and you put them in jelly jars or whatever for the year. And then you don't have to know who the families are. You take the coins and you put Christmas wrap on it and you wish them a Merry Christmas and you set it on their doorstep. And, you know, sometimes if you collect your change, there could be, you know, $100 in a jar or whatever. And it's, I heard someone say that that's what they did as a family on Christmas Eve. They went in and took it to someone and just put it on the doorstep. So we started doing that. And my grandsons love it. They think about it and then they decide where they're going to put it. And it's a,
do you,
and we
do
never
you wait
know.
For them to open the door?
No. You take the, we do it at Easter time too. We take the, take Easter eggs and, you know, the plastic ones, and you put coins in them and, you know,
you want my address?
Wishing them the best. Yeah, I have your address.
No. You want my address to my house so I can get my coin?
Oh, well,
I'm
okay,
looking
so
for,
you can get your coins.
Bonnie, we used to do that with groceries on for Thanksgiving and Christmas with the kids, and it was so much fun because we taught the kids that value. They would go through the grocery store putting stuff in the cart that they knew we weren't allowed to have at home, the scooter pies and all that stuff. And then it was so hard to get a whole bunch of giggling kids because we got some of the neighborhood kids, and we lived in an inner city neighborhood, but that we knew there were some families that were worse off than any of us, and it was so hard to get the kids to stop giggling as they're putting the groceries on the porch at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to get them back in the station wagon. And I'm pushing the station wagon so that we can leave without starting the engine.
You're nostalgic people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still do this? Do you do this? Hold on. Do you still do it, Bonnie?
Yes.
You
actually, we have three jars. We have three jars filled. And this year, they're already wrapped and everything, yeah. I mean, they have little paper on them. We're ready to go. We'll cut down a Christmas tree on Sunday, and then between the 22nd and the 24th, we'll take them out. And
but don't
you
let
know,
me ask you: do you randomly select someone, or do you know that they have a need?
Well, you know,
we
kind of watch, or we know that you know that you know maybe they are going through something tough, or you know. Not necessarily. There was a gentleman that was taking care of his mother, and we had no clue. We found out later that his was the house we chose, and we set the coins there, and his mother had had a stroke, and he was taking care of her. And there was no Christmas lights or anything. You know, it was just the house was dark. There was no tree. You know, you can tell when someone's celebrating the holidays and when you can tell that they're not. You know, there's just a simple little, you know, light in the house. There's not a decorated, you know, place.
Guess what, Bonnie?
Bonnie,
because if you come by, I have a poinsettia, and it was given to me, and it's not lit.
So you don't put up a tree?
No.
Okay.
I either go over the top or I do nothing at all. It's either I tear up everything that I have green and evergreen throughout the whole neighborhood, all up and down the trees with lights hanging off the lighting and the telephone poles, or I don't have a light bulb on.
Ah.
I think that's probably true.
Hold on, John. What'd you say, Dee?
I said you've got Christmas in your heart.
Oh, but Christmas is in my heart all year long.
I love
giving and doing, and I don't have to have a holiday to do it. I just think it's time for us to quit being in debt and being stupid with our kids and teaching them a better way of doing things and giving them a life.
Yeah.
I had an aunt who always gave me a book, and I don't know why she always gave me a book, but now I remember her and I love her because it's because of her I'm so addicted to books.
If I'm mailing you a light, will you light up that 4-point?
Hold on, Mike. Go ahead, John.
I was about to say, I think that's the best gift to give is a book rather than give a PS4 or this Xbox that costs like $500. It's best to give something where people can continue to learn. And I think and probably a lot of adults should build types of relationships with children that they know are suffering where, you know, they don't have parents there. I think the act of having that relationship with a meaningful adult probably means more than some gift that you could give at Christmas time.
And see, that's my thing. I think we're doing this all wrong, and children don't appreciate it.
Well, you know, children out of church a lot of times, they'll, you know, have an opportunity to learn and to share. You know, maybe they'll have a time to make cookies. We did that with kids at church. We let them make sugar cookies and decorate them to give to their family or their neighbors. And one year I remember I did an object lesson, and I had those Cheetos, the cheese curls, and I had them in little bags, the individual bags. I gave those to the kids, and then I had the big family pack, and I gave one per family, and I asked them to share them, and I told them the story about the widow's mite, that there were people who gave a lot of, you know, gold coins, and she only had one to give, but that one that she gave was more precious than, you know, all the many that the wealthy people could give. And I said, so these little, you know, Cheetos, I said, they're not gold coins, but I said, maybe you'll remember, you know, the lesson of that. And I said, and you'll share. So I gave them the big bag, and on the way home from church, there was a woman at the gas station who was hungry. She was asking if they had any money for food, and the dad gave her some money, but the little boy said, Daddy, wait a minute, I want you to give her this bag of cheese curls. And it was a big family bag. And when the father came to church the next week and shared that, he had, you know, tears in his eyes, and he said, my son learned that lesson well.
Yeah. Hold on. 259, your mic is on.
I guess that's me.
That's you.
Well, I guess you can't remember when you, that was the last year, I think, that I was at my house, and you set a poinsettia on everybody's doorstep. I'll bet you it was 20 people on that, in that. And then the following time, you gave poinsettias to every place, everybody. Everybody got a poinsettia in the nursing home.
She took more
time for that than she did for me.
Uh-oh, Tracy.
Okay, so let me rat her out. This is my mother.
Hello, Tracy's mom.
I can remember several times you went out of your way, and one time it was about 80 poinsettias from one door to the next, from one door, not just on our street, but on streets that we don't even go on.
Well, that's a nice thing to do.
But that's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
that's beautiful.
I'm just saying, you were by yourself.
But they won't let me sing.
So I think you're pretty nice. I think you're a pretty decent person.
But they won't let me sing. They won't let me go caroling.
You're giving. You're a giving person. And I like you.
I'm glad. Just for that, I'll take you to dinner today.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Tracy's mom.
Well, Tracy, what is your mother's name?
My mother's name is Susie. Her name is Susie.
Well, Miss Susie called and bragged on you.
Yes, she did.
About how giving you
are. She called you out.
She ratted me out, didn't she?
She was really proud.
Please, old man.
You were acting like Scrooge until she called.
Yeah,
1.7 for Christmas.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I still only have one poinsettia in my house and no lights up. My neighbors think I am Scrooge. I don't have any lights up. One year, my neighbors put lights on my house because I wouldn't have lights. Jeff, you wouldn't got your hair done instead of goofing off with me. Instead of actually, you know, putting up lights in my house, they put lights up for me because they know I'm a Scrooge. They know I don't do it.
You people sure are nicer in the Midwest than they are out here in California.
No, because in California I did it too.
Well,
when I live in LA,
that's because you're from the Midwest.
And as a matter of fact, you know what I miss about being out there? I had a poinsettia tree at the bottom of my stairs when you went out my house, and it was. And Christmas time, it lit up red, and that was just awesome for me.
I'm gonna go buy one today. I love poinsettias, and I usually live in a city in an apartment, and a tree just isn't practical. And I'll buy poinsettias, or I'll buy a little. I saw it Fresh and Easy, the grocery store. They had for $20. They had a little tree that's about 3 foot tall. And maybe I'll buy that and then plant it.
You need to get a rosemary tree. And then you can cook with it. And then you can pinch off the herbs and cook with it.
You know what? I'm gonna go to Home Depot today. When I pick up the poinsettia, I'm gonna ask them about a rosemary tree.
Yeah.
Hold on, just a second. Hold on, guys. 8904, your mic is on.
Florida.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Hey Tracy, how are you doing? I'm enjoying this. I call in because I want to talk to you about something else after the broadcast is over. If you would call me, you say you would, but I want to put everybody on notice of what we're doing here. I am a minister of education for the Moorish government, and I don't deal with any American holidays, but we have created our own, and it's exciting because everybody is happy about it, especially the children. And what we do is on the 4th of January, we celebrate Queen Nzinga's Day, and where we get everybody over, we prepare food for them, and we teach them through presentation what actually happened and what she did and how she was able to fight against the Portuguese for over 40 years and what was the outcome of that. And then afterwards, we wrap the day up by taking the children out in the woods and show them how to survive, how to hunt, how to trap, how to fish, and how to become professionals with weapons and for survival. And we look forward to this. And then on the January the 10th and 11th, we have our National Moorish Summit, where people come here from all over the United States to see our gardens and how we grow them and all of this stuff. But
I want you to know, you got to understand, I'm a jokester, and when you said you took the kids out out in the woods, I was getting ready to really crack on you for a minute.
I thought you were going to have to go out there and whoop them.
That's what I'm saying.
No, we have a professional team.
Take them out to the woods and
out there in the woods, and we teach them skills of survival and professionalism. And they are excited, and they're doing well. They learn how to fish. They learn how to, if something happens and this economy collapses, and people are faced with survival,
So what we are doing with them is we are showing them how to be independent survivors and how to, at the same time, be connected to their ancient culture and have their ancient story so they will know what has happened in the past, what, and be sufficient about everything all the way across the board. And what we do is we also prepare them for New Year's, which comes in spring when everything comes to life. And at that time, we start over and we expose to them all of their great leaders, and we spend 3 days with them showing them what happened, who done it, what should be their who they should look up to, and all of this stuff. And then we take them out and start the training all over again. But it's
hey, listen, I got to take a break. You can stay on there, but I got to go. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. In Youngstown, hazmat crews were called to Andrews Avenue yesterday afternoon after a truck carrying 4,500 gallons of industrial wastewater flipped over. The wastewater seeped into the ground and into the drainage that goes into Crab Creek, but the spill's impact isn't considered major. The solution is made of mostly water. Even so, cleanup crews worked into the night while the EPA supervised. Bristol local schools won't be open today so students and staff can go to the funeral of a retired teacher. 63-year-old Marty Harder died Monday night. Harder taught for Bristol for more than three decades and retired in 2009. She still worked for the district as a substitute teacher. And the state's attorney general wants to toughen up animal cruelty laws. Mike DeWine says he's hearing from police and community leaders that some drug abusers are taking prescriptions meant for their pets and hurting their animals in some cases. Lawmakers are looking into inserting language into a bill to crack down on this kind of abuse. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Everyone is talking about the Humane Society of Columbiana County Animal Resource Complex, located at 721 East Pigeon Road in Salem. It's 6,000 square feet of climate-controlled space with rubberized comfort flooring where you and your pet can play, learn, and socialize. Operated by the Humane Society of Columbiana County, the complex also offers interactive pet toys, pet treats, fun t-shirts for the humans on your shopping list, and private and party appointments available for you and your friends, furry or otherwise. Gift certificates are a great choice and also available. Stop by the Humane Society Animal Resource Complex 7 days a week or call 330-332-8622 for more information. The Humane Society of Columbiana County Animal Resource Complex at 721 East Pigeon Road in Salem. The place where your pets get to play and you learn to sit. Visit our website, ColumbianaHumane.org.
...1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I will give you, Takara, I will give you a call when I get off the air. It might be a minute before I do that because I've got a meeting right afterwards. But I will do that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and it's open mic. And Jeff just walked in because he was goofing off.
I was playing Tracy on Tuesday.
I don't goof off. What?
I think you ought to leave me alone at this point.
I don't know what you're talking about. Hey, turn the mics down, too, because all of them are hot.
Merry Christmas,
Jeff.
Off.
Merry Christmas, my man.
Hey, don't goof off. I just, try to have some fun.
Yeah.
And I won't be here Monday and Tuesday
either. Have you played the Christmas song yet?
Which one?
Christmas time is here.
The
jazz version. Yeah.
No.
How about the jazz version?
No.
The original version, that is.
I played the original version.
Tracy.
Yes, sir.
May I mention something in the news that has nothing to do with what we're talking about but has me
thoroughly
amused?
Yeah, because it's open mic. You can do that.
Okay, good. At least I asked permission this time. I'm learning. What do you guys think about this phony sign language guy?
When I brought it up at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm so amused by this because this guy is improvising. He looks like he's the third base coach for the Dodgers or something. And he's doing this. Now he's saying he's a schizophrenic. And I just laugh at it over and over and over again. It's almost like it's out of a Saturday Night Live skit or something. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, laughing this guy. But now I had a different thought this morning. This guy was standing next to the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And he says he's off his rocker and takes medication. What if he just decided to put Obama in the chokehold and snap his neck or something bizarre and crazy? Where's the Secret Service, and why the heck aren't they doing their job?
This was not a Secret Service deal. I got to take up for the people.
Aren't they responsible? Don't they come in there weeks in advance and check everything out?
No, you can't go in somebody else's world and do your Secret Service thing. Now, you can go in there and secure your land.
Yeah, they do that everywhere the president
South. Remember, the man died. Not in South Africa. I mean, they can sweep the place, but then they can't vet the place. They had no control.
They vetted him.
I know this.
The Secret Service didn't vet him.
I know this for a fact. I read a real long article about what the Secret Service does, about what the Secret Service, the CIA, what they do in coordination with each other after that thing happened with the Secret Service agents in Colombia using the prostitutes and not paying for the prostitutes. I read a real long article on that. And they send details into these places where the president's going to be 2 to 3 weeks in advance, and they're talking to people, investigating people.
But you're not listening to me, Brown.
You're not listening to me. I'm telling you.
No, listen. I know. What an advance team does. What I'm saying is, there was no time for advance.
Let me tell you this: the CIA investigated him and cleared him, and so.
There we go.
One of my friends said came on and said, this is the new spokesman for the Republican Party. I said, oh, no, no. I said, that's Obama's a guy because he speaks more clearly than Carney does. And then I said, he does. He's much better than Carney. But I said, here's the other thing is that don't forget, they're the ones that let the people bust in on the list and get into the White House party.
But
that's right.
What I'm saying to you is, from my understanding, they were concerned about the security of President Obama, Bill Clinton, Bill Carter, and all of the living presidents Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter. And all of them going over to South Africa because of the security concerns, because they did not have control there that they normally have.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was not investigated, and nor was he approved.
I don't think that's true.
He was not approved by the CIA.
I disagree.
He has rape charges, kidnapping charges. All this is in his background.
Right. His vetting was extended to that once before. Previously, several months ago, he did attend a formal function for the then president of South Africa, and he was approved then to be an interpreter, same deal, and he got back in, and it was only because of this display. Now, my friend who reads sign language in Afrikaans, actually said what he was saying. He was trying to explain Obamacare, and he was making more sense than the president.
See, you're wrong, Mike.
Joke.
You're wrong. But it's my understanding that this brother, he was just up there, and he was nuts, and they're very, very loose in what they do in South Africa, security-wise. Anyhow, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. I'm sorry, guys. You know, I got bills I had to pay.
Can you put us in the green room?
Yeah, because you care of the paying customers, Tracy.
Yeah.
That's what makes this show possible.
Yeah, exactly. Not as freebies.
Those evil capitalists.
I still crack up laughing at this guy.
I know. One of the comedians actually did have a deaf interpreter on, and the guy actually did repeat what he was doing. It made no sense, but he actually did accidentally hit on some real words.
He was making the stuff up as he went along. He could have been doing anything. How does that happen? How did he think he would get away with this? He's on the world stage. He's on CNN, MSNBC. He's been covered by the whole world. How did he think that he would do this and get away with it?
Because he did it once before and got away with it when he did it for a smaller gathering for the president of South Africa about 2 months ago.
That's how they knew he was an interpreter. Let's call him again.
Yeah, exactly. But now that they go to vet him further, they can't find the company he worked for. They can't find him. And apparently he's somebody that's psychotic and has lots of social problems and is a alleged murderer, rapist, and all-around not-so-nice guy standing behind our president. That is scary.
Super scary.
Yeah.
Super scary.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, Jeff says he was vetted or they knew who he was. I don't think they would let anyone that close without looking into it, you know? Tracy says he just got up there.
Well,
and they don't
but,
let the advance team do what they do in South Africa. If
that
were the case, then these important people wouldn't be going.
But
you
trust
know?
One thing, Brown. Trust one thing, Beasley. I never know who you want to be called. Anyway, Mr. BB.
I like Beasley.
Beasley. Okay, then I will address you accordingly. Beasley, one thing you can be sure of, that guy, because the heads of state they weren't worried about, but that guy, because, trust me, there were at least three people assigned to watch every move he made, and if he did anything like inside his jacket, he'd have been toast. If he went for something in his pocket, you know, he'd have been toast. They'd have brought him down right there on the stage.
He was real close. There was nothing between him and the president but some
air. I know.
If he wanted to do something, he could have done something. Barack probably would. Obama probably weighs 165 pounds soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a real skinny, he's a real thin guy.
Mm-hmm.
That little stocky short guy could have done something horrible.
The other thing is, Are you sure there was nothing between him? Sometimes there's these clear plexiglass shields that they use that you actually are standing between, like a napkin holder.
Obama walked right past him,
behind him,
to get to the podium.
Okay.
The podium. This guy's a complete fraud. How they pulled that, how he pulled that off, is just amazing.
Yeah. It is scary because, believe me, with all the turmoil that's going on in our country right now, with what is legitimately problematic for many people on both sides of the argument, the last thing we would need is any harm to come to our president. That is the absolute. That would just tear it for our society. It would take us 3 generations to recover from the moment. I mean, we're still lamenting Kennedy.
You got a point. It wouldn't.
It would be so tragic. And it's like, if I were him, I'd be so ripped furious that I would have a new rule. I'd go back. You know how vulnerable I'd line them all up. I'd line up my Secret Service and say, you know how vulnerable I felt after I found this out? Do you know what it made me feel like? Well, you're going to get a taste of what I felt like. For the next 2 weeks, no one here in the White House in the Secret Service gets to wear any pants. And you're going to get to know what I felt like.
He's the commander-in-chief. He has that power.
Yeah, he does.
Know,
he can order. That's
and I'm sure he's concerned about himself, but I'm sure he would also, you know, he would think like any other father. He said, you see these 2 girls?
Yeah.
I have a responsibility to be there for them.
Yeah.
Exactly. I care about them more than I care about anything else in the world.
Yeah.
And you guys.
And I'm 3 years from the finish line, and I don't want these kids to be raised like Jack Kennedy's kids.
Right.
So
or any of those other Kennedy kids that were so misguided.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, a segue into that, I read where Jackie Kennedy intentionally kept Caroline and John away from all the other ones because she knew that they were wild and they were into drugs and everything.
Sure. And they were also into this, we are rich, therefore we are Kennedy, therefore we are invincible mentality. Did you see that court case in Texas? The guy, he had affluenza, and he got off.
That lets you know. Well, if you didn't know already from OJ and other cases, that money really talks. You know, when one of the Kennedy kids got acquitted of rape.
Yeah.
His lawyer was Roy Black in Miami. He's a big time criminal defense drug lawyer.
Yeah.
Big time lawyer.
Michael Kennedy or whatever down there. Yeah.
Right. Well, he's handled other cases, too, but that was one of the largest. But they interviewed him, and they asked him, so, you know, does this verdict, does this show you, you know, that there's flaws or there's something wrong with our justice system?
Yeah.
He says, well, there's nothing really wrong with our justice system. It works better than any system in the world. But what you have to understand that our justice system is a smaller part of our larger system, which is the capitalistic system.
Yeah.
And that money talks. That kid can get probation and get sent to rehab, and he murdered 4 people.
I know.
Drunk driving, underage, is a travesty of
justice.
9
others. Yeah.
It's
well,
a travesty
you know,
of justice, and you know, and people wonder when you hear things like this, and people wonder, or you shouldn't wonder, when you have. And I'm just going to interject race in here for a moment. When you have situations like Michael Vick, no killing dogs is as corny as it is, and going to federal prison and getting his life wrecked, and someone like Plaxico Burress, who shot himself in a club and ends up going to prison for shooting himself for possession of a gun.
Yeah.
Is justice blind?
Well, yesterday, one of the commentators on one of the major news networks who was an attorney before she was a commentator, she said it really was startling one day in her first year of law at Harvard when the professor said, I would rather be a rich, guilty person than a poor, innocent person in our justice system.
Here it is.
And
what are you guys talking
reporter.
About?
Huh? We're talking about...
I just got...
We were talking about the fake interpreter down there at the Mandela funeral and how dangerous that it was and how close he was to the president and how somebody dropped the ball there by letting this dude.
Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want to say Merry Christmas. I hope you guys
you know, it's open mic here at Tracy and Friends, WSOM AM 600. Jeff and I are here in the studio, but I want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. And as you go out this weekend, please be careful. It's a little crisp here, and I understand it's going to be snowy over the weekend.
What are you doing here?
Christmas is every day.
That's true, but it's 2 weeks away.
No, it's not. It's every day. And people are out Christmas shopping. Be nice. Be nice to your neighbor. Be nice to your friend. Be nice to your family. Do things a little bit differently. Don't go out there and go in a whole lot of debt for buying for a bunch of bad kids. You know, give them
talking about bad kids.
Give them
and
a lump.
Take them to the library anyway, because you know they hate you. They'll love you later for it.
Listen, no, don't
yeah,
take them to the library.
Works.
Not for Christmas.
Not for Christmas. I'm talking about period.
Every day. Take them to the
yeah,
library.
Yeah, take them to the library. That's true.
But don't go buy them no $500 game. Go out and buy them a book. Read a book. Read a book.
And that's how my daughter earned her $500 games.
By reading the book.
By making sure she read the book and got the grades to prove it.
Absolutely.
Right.
I have no problem with that. But I do have a problem with bad kids not doing nothing all year long and thinking, giving
probably
them an entitlement mentality, thinking the world owes them something, and then you go in debt trying to give them the world when they don't earn it, they don't respect you, and they don't even like you, and then they grow up and they're just bad parents.
I can think of a real bad kid. What about that bad kid in Texas who's suffering from affluenza, who drunk drives underage and murders four people, kills four people, and gets probation? And sent us to a rehab.
Mom, maybe they used
kid?
To do that.
Listen here. Listen, I come from the school of whip your kids. I'm serious. When you whip your kids, you ain't got to worry about them still in the car. Because they're afraid when they come back, you going to whip their kids. See, that's the school of whip your kids.
Did you guys...
Hello, Tracy.
Along that
it's
line, Beasley. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, along the lines, the guy in Vermont, the former Sprint executive, lost his job 2 years ago, went out the door with $1.2 million golden handshake. He's depressed about his life and decides he's going to kill himself. He's driving a 350 truck. That's a huge truck. And what does he do? He crosses the median when he's finally decided on a major road and heads head-on into another car coming at him, sheared the roof off and killed the young couple. She was 8 months pregnant. He was 27. She was 24. And now he's claiming, again, you know, that because he fell so far, he's going to use the same defense because he fell so far because he came from privilege to where he is
Mike,
that he's depressed
Mike,
and he needs mental
health. Do you have to give me a dissertation? Mike, you almost sound like some people that get a mic and start praying for Christmas and give a prayer that's longer than 3 minutes.
Tracy, I got kicked off another Blog Talk Radio program.
I wonder why.
It was called Church Folks. It was a black Talk Radio program, and their topic was about Christian conservatives. And they were bashing them.
They were bashing Christian conservatives?
And I merely told... they were. And I merely told the truth.
Mike,
you know, all the times that I've been cut off of Blog Talk Radio programs, they always have been the black ones. I can go on a white show. They can be as ridiculous as they want to, but they listen to you.
That's because they don't want to be labeled as a racist. So you come here, we don't care if you call us a racist or not.
You don't know that Bianchi's black by him talking. At least I don't.
Listen,
but
I've been kicked off of way more shows than you, Bianchi, so...
They know the comments that I'll be making about, you know, they were talking about how food stamps is being cut. They were talking about Romney's statements. I say, well, heck. And they were talking about school closing. I say, well, when you abort in Philadelphia County, 18,000 black babies in 2008, and 5 years later when it's time for them to go to elementary school, if there's no kids, they're going to close the schools.
And what they say to that?
All my information is defective.
Can I say this to you, Bianchi?
Call me, Bianchi. We'll call back in.
Bianchi, y'all, I don't know why y'all play with them people. Y'all, Bianchi,
somebody's got to say something.
Say what?
You, when you see a bastion of ignorance like that, you have to
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
to say, you
no,
know what?
You don't have to say anything.
Oh, and,
well, you
and
don't
trust,
have to, but it's better
and,
that you
no,
do.
No, it's really not.
And
something,
trust me,
something,
Jeff,
somebody's
and
listening.
Them,
no, Jeff.
There's plenty
the
of ignorance.
Don't cast your pearls before swine, and
no.
some things are straight-up swine.
Listen. I do
you know
it
what,
every day.
I know, and you try
but
to...
But guess what? There are people that ain't swine get it, and they ask me about it when
yes,
they see
but,
me.
But, yes, they can't ask you when you see you, but I'm trying to tell y'all, trying to convince an idiot that he's a fool.
I agree.
Well,
I agree
you know,
totally.
Coming, speaking from the other side of the coin, there's just as much ignorance on the far right. And I encounter them, and they know me. They know Brown Beasley, but I will hear them speak about, and this is a common thing I'm finding on the right. These people are ranting and raving and everything that they're unhappy about, and they start speaking about fascism, socialism, and communism, and they don't know what any of them mean. They couldn't
but
give you a simple
this?
Definition.
I let me say this to you guys.
And when you challenge
you said
them...
The you said the right. No, most of those people are not right. Those people are, again, they're not right. They're not conservatives. They're not right, and they're not Republicans. They're wacky.
That's how they identify themselves.
But the thing is, I can identify myself as a car, too. And we're giving we're allowing a lot of these people to get a label of something that they're not even, they shouldn't even be labeled as. You need to label them just as a crazy kook. It's like you talked about the interpreter.
No, but I'm
in
glad
South
you
Africa.
Acknowledge that they exist, and I'm not going to offend any people.
Listen,
oh, absolutely.
You said you identified the interpreter. You were talking about the interpreter for Elwin mm-hmm. in South Africa and him being a schizophrenic.
Well, he called himself that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There you go. He called himself an ASL interpreter, and we found out he's a crazy kook. See what I'm saying?
The con man.
You remind me of a cop we used to have here that was directing traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's
mean,
what I'm saying.
Somebody should have caught on once they seen that every hand signal was the damn same.
I can see
that when Obama was talking.
Pionki, you need to understand that. When you look at the rationale of how he got hired because he was $84 or $74 instead of standard $164. And usually you have to swap people out every 20 minutes, and he was there for 3 hours. I mean, you got to understand what the mindset of the people that were there.
You got to. Okay.
And so here we go back to what I'm saying. You can call yourself whatever you want to. They call themselves conservative. They call themselves right. They call themselves, you know, They got this. They're Republicans. These people are just crazy, and I love them. They're American citizens, and they make the world go round, but they're wackadoodles. And you get wackadoodles on the left and wackadoodles on the right.
There you go. There you
and
go.
They're just,
that's,
and you,
that,
as
and
a
that,
matter of fact, and we
true.
Need to put them together and let them work out their own wax because they wacky.
They're the low information voter that people complain of.
That ain't low information. That's just one of those people that, as I said, you can't call. They just stupid, and you can't tell them anything. But they're not Republicans. They're not liberals. They're not conservatives. Because they don't even know what they believe.
When you use words and you don't know what they mean, and someone challenges you. And you get angry at them for challenging you. There's something wrong with you.
No, it ain't.
So I can't call the president a narcissistic Marxist socialist.
No, you cannot.
Well, you know what those, but you know what those words mean, though.
Okay.
No, you cannot. The president is the
but
president
you know,
of the United States
well,
of America.
He's a narcissistic Marxist socialist.
I'm not saying anyone's opinion. Okay, just know the words.
I understand. I know what you're saying.
Brown,
listen,
you're telling me know the words. More people don't even know what they believe. They call themselves a Cadillac and don't realize that they're a human being.
This is true.
But the bottom line is I understand what you're saying, Brown, because people misuse words and context, et cetera, et cetera. And it's frustrating at best because you're trying to have an intelligent conversation, and they're saying stuff that they don't have the faintest idea what they mean.
But they don't even know what it means. They don't even believe what they say they believe. They don't even know what it means that they say they believe.
That's what we say.
That's all I'm saying.
But the problem is
frustrated by it.
Why don't be frustrated by it? That ain't
you can't
low
help
information.
It. You can't help it because when you're an intellect, when you have intelligence working for you, it so goes against your grain that it doesn't compute. Now that might not bother you, but it sure bothers me. And it gets to you. Why does it get to you? Because these people are actually saying things in public.
So what? You got a black woman who is a no name getting ready to run for governor, and thinks she's gonna win.
But she doesn't have a name.
And not that one knows.
Nobody know her.
Oh, she's a no-name. Oh, well, you know what? That's okay. That's part of America.
Where are you talking about?
Wasn't that what happened with Jimmy Carter? He got elected.
Okay. But this ain't Jimmy, and this ain't Carter, and this ain't 1976, and this ain't Atlanta. And you ain't, and she ain't a peanut farmer.
Well, Barack Obama's election in 2008 has to be, even if it was designed and there were people pulling strings with a logical mind. When I saw him announce, I said, there's no way on earth that this country is going to elect a biracial person who's admitted to doing cocaine and smoking marijuana and whose middle name is Hussein. Impossible. Impossible. I would have bet my life when he announced.
You know what got me on that? The thing that got me on that was that they didn't have the faintest idea. They acted as though they did not believe that story was true. And the people before they voted, oh, that's not true. Right in the man's book.
Did you ever hear they had to vote for him before they could read what was in him?
No, hold on. Brown, wait a minute. Did you remember when Reds called in here and we were talking about Uncle Tom?
Yeah, I couldn't tell him.
About Uncle Tom's cabin.
Yeah.
And we told him that you had to read the book to find out who Uncle Tom was.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he didn't care
because
his grandmama always told him that Uncle Tom was a bad person.
Mama, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've run into that.
His grandmother couldn't read.
Hey, Six, your mic is on. Six, your mic is on.
Yeah, Brown, you and I have gotten into this discussion before about fascism, communism, and fascism, communism, and socialism. And you're splitting hairs, dude.
No, I'm not.
Because the National Socialist Party, the Nazi Party, was fascist, was it not?
Let me do this real quick, okay?
No, we're not going to go. We're not going to go to the dictionary definition. I know the dictionary definition of all three. But you are splitting hairs, because you will not admit that you can have certain segments bleeding over between the three. If you'll admit that, we can have a discussion.
The nationalists, so the Nazis, really weren't true fascists. True fascists is the corporate elite intermarrying with the government. We have fascism working in this country now, and much of the power, the economic power that existed in Germany before Hitler, and even for a short period during Hitler was around, was Jewish. And
is he giving another dissertation?
I don't know what he's saying.
I wanted to see a real fascist. Look at Mussolini.
Right.
Who's fascism?
That's what I'm saying, Brown. When we
right.
say
so,
communist,
so the
fascist,
Nazis,
socialist,
the Nazis aren't a good example of fascism, but.
Well, but don't you would you agree that today there is a fascistic relationship being built between the elite in this country and the big business in this country?
Absolutely, it's already built. It's already been in power.
Okay,
would
you say that both George Bush and Barack Obama are part of that elite? Then why are we disagreeing?
I'm not disagreeing. All I was going to say was this, is that fascism is a corporate marriage with government or a plutocracy fascism. Socialism
is where everyone shares equally in the proceeds, and communism means a centralized government where everything's done from the central government. And communism and socialism are totally different things because socialism is an economic system and communism is a form of government.
Communism is also an economic system because
all the means of production are owned by the government, controlled by the government.
That's right. That's an economic system.
They are all extreme left forms of government where the government has all the power, and the opposite of them is anarchy to the other far extreme. And most of us prefer the middle where the citizenry has most of the control, but that's in the center. But all of those forms of government are the extreme left. The government controls everything in those systems.
Well, you're right that communism, it's central control, and it is central control of the economy, too. So I'd stand corrected there and would include communism as being government and economic. So.
Well, you see the same thing being playing out here. Tracy, you have these voluntary sobriety checkpoints in your town now?
Involuntary.
When they pull you over, everybody on the street gets pulled over on one street, but they announce it on the news, and you still go down the street drunk.
Where they pay you for to swab your cheek and draw blood.
No, I haven't heard about that.
They had two places here in my area.
I heard about it, but it hasn't come to our neighborhood. That's wild.
So they're gonna have identifying characteristics on everybody.
Uh-huh. Well, then you have a fascistic Marxist socialist running your country.
Put all the words together.
Yeah, I was gonna say you have it, and he's a narcissist.
Either way,
I mean, it was good. I understood his interjection, but the situation is that we're dealing with this now, and we're not. Nobody's saying anything, and I'm wondering why is it that I'm having a fit, Kilkenny Cat fit down here on the bottom, and you're sitting up there. Not doing nothing. That's going back in time with these idiots doctors. 80% of the doctors decided not to go into deal with Obamacare, period, in California. They're out. Not even going to deal. So what's that going to do for the good people?
What made me hold my breath is that George Bush Jr. rode over to South Africa on Air Force One. So the next radical.
What's wrong with that?
The next radical idea that Obama comes up with here in the future, we know where it comes from. And some people said that
Bush's fault.
Some people said that the reason Bush had to ride on Air Force One because he's got so many bounties on his head in Africa, his plane would have probably got shot down.
No, he went to Africa and received an award for almost eradicating AIDS in a certain part of Africa.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I saw that, and I thought it was a joke.
No, that's absolutely the truth.
What?
That Bush got an award from...
I'm not talking about the award. I'm talking about him riding Air Force One with President Obama to South Africa.
Of course.
What's wrong with saving gas? He's a conservative.
What I want to know is how come Bill and Hillary took different airplanes.
No. Hillary
was on Air Force One.
You don't think they sleep in separate beds?
Bill saw Bill packing extra cigars the night before and knew what that meant.
Bill was down in South America getting an award for something, and so he flew.
Wait a minute. How did he fly home?
Notice you didn't see any pictures of Bill on Air Force One.
How did he fly home?
He wouldn't stand up after the president spoke. I don't think he'll ever ride on it again.
It was so funny.
Wait a minute.
Let's break this down.
Uh-huh.
Bill didn't stand up. President Obama was taking a selfie.
Jimmy Carter was a selfie.
Jimmy Carter was asleep.
I don't know about Jimmy Carter being asleep. I saw this one myself. You know how Bush is like a joker?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was standing behind Clinton, And so everybody was standing up after Clinton, after Obama made his speech, clapping. And he leaned over and kind of tapped Bill on the shoulder.
He said, "Hey, man, you going to get up?"
And Bill turned around and said, "I ain't standing for that ass." That actually was so funny. Oh, man, I was rolling at 6:30 in the morning. I was rolling.
Did you get up to watch it?
No, I get up early anyway. I'm up usually about 5, 6 o'clock. And then I try to get myself, back to sleep for another hour or so. Then I get up for good for that day. That's how I do. But I get up, I pray, watch news, watch something in the Word on TV. And then, that's my morning.
I do the same. I'm up very early. It might take two hours to get out of bed.
Brown! But.
No, they're
going to move us, man, and you're going to have to get up
at
6 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning to hear.
It's all right.
Let's Tracy and friends.
Might have to check the archive.
9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard, and starting in January.
Well, that's good. Then I won't be wasting some of this critical point in the best part of the day, the money-making hour.
You know what, Brown? Hey, Brown.
It's just an hour later for me.
That's my
Hello, Sticks. How you doing?
All the employees and everything out. I won't be here then no more, Tracy. Thanks a lot, excluding the blank.
Why won't you be here?
It's the worst time of the day for me, that 9 to noon. It's when I'm the busiest in the morning getting all the troops going and solving problems from the day before.
I'm sorry.
Well, you just have to make out your work list the night before.
Oh, my work
Thank
list
you very much,
is done
Dick.
By 2 a.m. before I go to bed every night.
Then don't worry about it. Just move that time around. What's the priority is Tracy and friends in the morning.
When they sent me to leadership management school, the Navy did, they told me you weren't an effective leader until you could leave for a month and nobody ever knew you were missing.
Nah, that's good.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break.
Sounds like being a union worker.
Watch your mouth.
Oh, jeez, guys. Did they just go away, huh?
Jeez, that's like being a ghetto dad. You're gone for 2 years and no one knows you're gone. Is that what
that's
we were talking about earlier?
Sticks, where you been? I haven't heard from you in a long time. How's your family?
I'm here every Monday and Wednesday, but family's good. Daughter's mine and Cole. It's 51 below zero in Wyoming.
Wow.
So.
Oh, she's mine and Cole?
Yeah, she's a mining engineer.
You know, my grandson is going was becoming a petroleum engineer.
Oh, that's a good field. That's even better than mining. Where's he going to school?
Well, we haven't decided yet. Well, it may be right here locally, WashU. Rolla.
University of Marietta, Ohio is an extremely good petroleum school,
mm-hmm.
and so is West Virginia University.
Yeah, I've been on his. You know, he's very good academic. He's not mechanical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good baseball player, but he's not mechanical. I said he's good academically. So I told him that, plus we know some petroleum engineers.
Well, lots of chemistry.
I like chemistry. I like mixing stuff up.
Yeah, my daughter was upset they changed the curriculum after she started and took away the explosives part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You might want to look. There's a consortium of state schools,
mm-hmm.
and there was some kind of an agreement between Ohio and West Virginia. My daughter went to West Virginia with in-state tuition. And in-state tuition in West Virginia is dirt cheap.
That's great.
So check and see if maybe you're in Missouri?
Correct.
I'd check and see because that's considered a southern state, right?
Yeah, it was. Dred Scott found that out.
Yeah, because there's some kind of a consortium of the southern state colleges. The reason ours was because it was something that wasn't taught in any state school in Ohio. But there's some kind of a consortium of all the southern states that the kids can move back and forth and pay in-state tuition.
You know, we got in southern Missouri, they got Rolla, which is a school of mine.
Okay.
But they teach a lot of engineering subjects. So you said Ohio State Marietta?
No, no, no. University of Marietta in Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, University of Marietta.
Well, I guess Missouri really is a southern state now that they play football in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. And West Virginia State, you say?
WVU, West Virginia University.
The Mountaineers.
Or you could go up to Alaska and become a driller from Wasilla.
You know, I guess it was because they didn't have any a very big enrollment. There was a time when you could go to the University of Alaska for free.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the United States.
Yeah.
My niece got offered a 97% scholarship at University of Syracuse, and she decided to pay in-state tuition and go to University of California on the beach in Santa Barbara.
Oh, geez.
So.
Oh, jeez.
It is cold.
It gets pretty cold there. Well, she's lucky enough to get a job. She graduated in June, and now she's in Minneapolis.
That's the
Welcome to being a grown-up.
Yeah, it gets cold as hell in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it is. She said it's minus 35 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
I said, welcome to being
an adult.
They
put Somali refugees up there.
She, in fact... The group that she works with, or that she works for, is in the areas where the Somalis are. They have community centers there. Funny that you mentioned that. It's a lot of them. She has the largest Somali population outside of Somalia in the world.
That's the craziest thing I ever seen. Why would you take people off the equator and put them up in Minnesota where it's 35 below?
I was just going to say the same thing. Somebody's sick, man. Get off the airplane in the middle of January? Oh, no.
Fall to your knees.
Well, last Christmas, my niece was finishing up her degree in Rio de Janeiro. She said, last Christmas I was on the beach, and I didn't have any money, but I was okay. And now I'm making money, and I have money, and I can do things that I want. But I'd rather be on the beach broke.
Well, that's the difference between rich and wealthy.
Right. I'm going to have to work on her attitude. She doesn't seem to understand yet that she's not going to be able to take the time to lie on the beach and enjoy it unless she has some money. But it's hard getting the message through to her.
Yeah, they learn. I got a son that's 27 years old makes me absolutely insane.
Bianchi, putting the Somalians up there is as bad as when they used to take us blind kids on tours, field trips to the Library of Congress. You know,
on the sightseeing bus on top of the
take you to a movie. Taking blind kids to a movie to watch a 3D movie with them glasses on.
With a French subtitle.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Wait till Tracy gets the letters on that one, because they don't know why we all have a sick sense of humor about blankies.
Yeah, Beezus, I go on these black liberal stations, man. They kick my ass off fast. Don't get no explanation.
A lot of these shows, if you were just to call and just disagree, no matter how polite and how civil you are, they're going to kick you off on a whole lot of them, or someone's going to scream and holler at you. But that's just the way that it is. You knew what you were doing.
It's good having a dialogue with nobody.
Well, you know what, we're back. You know, I love Luther. He can sing. Luther can sing, you know, the ABC song and make it sound melodious.
A bad boy.
He really could. And I didn't like him in big arenas. Like when I went to see him live, I went to see him at the Forum. It's too big. I love small little intimate areas. You know, I went to see Bobby Caldwell in a almost like a coffee shop in Santa Monica.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you go see a concert or something like that.
Bobby Caldwell, I love Bobby Caldwell.
I do too.
You don't go see them in a major, massive, where there's 30, 15, 20, 30,000 people. What kind of concert is that unless they're going to stand up and be a, you know.
Gary Bartz.
Who's Gary Bartz?
Saxophone player.
I believe that's who's doing that
oh, that's
solo.
The...
I believe. I may be wrong. It sounds like Gary Bartz.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends, and it's Open Mic Friday. Today's Friday the 13th of December. And hope you're having a good afternoon and a good day. I want to thank everybody for hanging out, taking care of me all week long. I've had an up and down week. I haven't been here all week long, almost. I was gone all
week. Lots to do. I mean, lots was happening.
Yeah, and I'm not coming in next week either.
Well, you coming in next week now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't go. You can't get away with that.
I can't like, just, like, go to
yeah.
the wall.
Yeah. I hope I got to bring sticks in. I hope we got two guys here.
When?
Which Monday.
Monday you got to.
Depends. I may or may not have to go out. Depends on how
Tuesday
far my knee goes down.
Tuesday you can have two. Wednesday we'll have two. Thursday we'll have three.
Thursday.
Yeah, because Mark Manji's coming in and
my
six is coming in.
My baby will be back. I'm going to get my baby next Wednesday.
So, Jeff, you still babying your baby? You always going to baby the baby?
Absolutely. That's my baby girl.
Look at this. That's Luther. This is Christmas.
Do you have a Christmas
song
album?
Is not Christmas. Sticks, you hear that?
Yeah, I hear that.
Hee haw, hee haw. See, the donkey can't do this.
Wait a minute.
Hey,
no. On a farm, you don't want nobody. No.
Thursday, we got to do the 12 Days of a Redneck Christmas. Got to.
Yeah, that's something else.
I just did the 12 Days of a Painful Christmas yesterday. You want to do a redneck Christmas? What? Yeah, do we have a 12 Days of a Brook Christmas?
Yeah, there is.
That one you done the other day was something else too, Tracy.
I'm gonna play my
I never heard
Wasting
that
Away
the
in Barack Obamaville song. That's going to be my bumper music at the beginning of the year. You know that.
Wait a minute, 12 Days of a Barack Obama Christmas?
Wasting away again,
no,
Barack Obamaville.
No, Jeff, it's 12 days. 12 days.
Waiting for
no,
my
no, Jeff,
hope.
12 days.
Changing the job.
Hey, broke, B-R-O-K-E. Christmas. They don't have a song like that. We got to make
Some
a song.
Some people say they don't have a song like what?
12 Days of a Broke Christmas.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
It's a Black Christmas or something.
So there's... But now
you know they correlate being black and broke in the same breath.
Oh,
I'm afraid to play it.
Since I started hanging out with you guys, I know way more broke white people than black ones.
Yeah,
a whole lot more. A whole lot more white folks than black ones. That's why.
No, it ain't.
They want $15 minimum wage.
No, I can't play that. Guess what? Listen, let me tell you something. Let me tell you guys something. And I'm being real with you guys on this. And I'm going to try to slow down my conversation in 2014. I think I slowed up from 2012 to 2013. But what, Jeff? You can tell me because I'm an African American. No, I'm a Negro on my birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
That's my birth. Why is it
with African
Americans?
I ain't seen one. They've been a long time.
Yeah, my Negro. Why is it when an African American does a 12 Days of Christmas, I just can't play it? I got to scream it first. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah.
No, let me ask. Now I can ask you, Pionki.
Yeah.
And Pionki, don't you cut. My question is, why is it that when I go to pull up something called the 12 Black Days of Christmas, I gotta go? Better not play it without screaming it first, because if I play it, I could go to jail.
Because it might have some anti-Semitism in it.
My question is, why is that? Can't y'all sing a song without saying colorful words or superlatives?
Well, Tracy, if it was, it depends on when it was. If it was made prior to 1960, you could. But if it's made here last week, I'd be very, very careful.
There you go.
I mean, there's a song called "Read a Book," and I can't play it without. As a matter of fact, CeeLo Green.
Ah. Then you ride downtown with the one I love.
How are you going to have a song and you can't play it on radio?
Guess the change. Were you there when I did that song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yankee, because you brought it up about when, how long ago. How does the black community feel about Mark Twain's book being edited, taking the N-word out?
Oh, God.
I'm against it. I think it stayed in there.
I think it stayed right in there because that's how it was written.
Yeah, why do you want
to
plagiarize somebody's stuff?
Be sensitive about. you say the word every day, hear it all the time, and then want to get sensitive if you read it in a book that was written 1900. Come on now. That's just crazy.
I tell you, if you ever in Missouri, take that ride up to Hannibal, Missouri. That's a very beautiful, scenic ride, and a lot of things to do up there.
I never stopped. And I'm
what is in Hannibal? Whoa. What is it? What's that? You can't just say something like that like we all know what you're talking about.
How far
that's
is
Mark
that
Twain.
Jesse James Cavern and stuff?
It's a long ways.
Yeah,
you ain't never read
James.
That story. I'm 44. That's why.
44.
What'd you say, Sid?
Yeah, Jesse James Cavern is south and Hannibal is north.
Right.
I said, you ain't never read Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, if you don't know about Hannibal, Missouri.
Guess what? You're right. And guess what book is not on my to read list?
Oh my God, that's one of the greatest books in English literature.
Who's that got the background noise? Is that Brown Beasley?
Sound like he's arguing with somebody, or he's trying to sell.
Sound like he's arguing with the IRS.
Hey, Pionki, listen to this. The Mandela signer is faced with a murder rap in 2003. He's a schizophrenic interpreter who stood feet away from Obama, reportedly has extensive criminal record, including kidnapping and rape.
Well, that's two of a kind. Make good fellows, don't they?
According to the South African News Network, Taskwana Jahahi has faced rape in 1994, theft in 1995, housebreaking in 1997, malicious damage to property in 1998, and attempted murder and kidnapping in 2003. Yet he was paid, you got to get the right number, I think like $74 instead of $150.
Yeah, $85 out here.
Something like that instead of, and that's why he was there.
All them liberals up there on stage, he felt right at home with them.
Yeah. No, that's not correct. He wasn't that kind of liberal. I was listening to it. I'm glad I didn't pay no attention. And they just called him. Why did they call him out? Because maybe he had a different kind of sign language. He graduated from.
Did you see when he said the death of Mandela? He said. Y'all couldn't see that. But it's like he cut his throat with his own hand like that. And then laid out. That broke me up.
Wait a minute. I want you guys to know I love ASL. I love ASL. I love American Sign Language. And I hope to become proficient at it. And I do some singing signs. But I am a bad signer. I know my alphabet, but I am a bad signer. And I thought about this. Him being up there is like me being up there trying to sign. Be like, peace out.
I used to work with a deaf guy in the service. And he taught us enough so we could sign if we needed to say something.
If we need to say hello. Hello.
You know, and he would teach us stuff all day long.
Yeah, but you can't get up and do a whole conversation.
Well, this is so crazy. He can lay his hand on the radio and tell you what kind of music was playing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what got me.
Oh, yeah.
But he was so hilarious, though. He was so hilarious.
I wonder if he can lay his...
And people are going back to just watch him do it.
I wonder if he can lay... Yeah, it could be reruns. I wonder if he could lay his hand on your forehead and tell what type of thoughts you have.
I don't know if he could do that, but he would hit himself up against the head and call you a dummy.
Hey, you guys, listen to this.
Jack Plinner.
So we only got about 10 minutes or 15 minutes before we're done with the day. What is making Congress and the Senate have this symbiotic love fest right now?
They have to.
Elections year?
Mm-hmm.
Midterms? I'm serious. I mean, right now, they can pass budgets. Mm-hmm. They can go down the hall and swing and skip together.
Yeah, for the moment.
Can you please explain this to me? I'm trying to find out. Ryan is happy. Tim Ryan and both Bill Johnson are voting the same way on bills right now?
Well, it's out of necessity because you have the midterms coming. You've had some very bad damage. And you don't want anything to stand in the way of Obamacare. So he's taking their distractions away from them. And that's what this is doing. And it's I think it's a good move for right now because it's only 2 years, and it doesn't do much of anything. So, you know, you're not going to get, you know, so much out of this.
So today now Boehner can control the Tea Party and
no.
And Pelosi can now.
Boehner can't control the Tea Party. And the thing is I think the Republicans are taking the wrong approach to the Tea Party. And
what do you mean?
Well, they're labeling them as extremists and things like that when they know that those people aren't extreme. They know who these people are. And, you know, these are people that stand for principle, and they want everything to be gray area so that they can, you know, they can do what they want to do. So you can play politics, but at the same time, you can't play politics to the detriment of the people. And that's what they're doing.
Well, Boehner sure did go off on them the other day, yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
And so Nancy Pelosi calls this a trifecta.
Well, not Nancy Pelosi, I tell you what.
Yeah, she said this is, she said, so it's a trifecta. Those people have hijacked the name Republican, and they have taken it over the cliff.
This is the idiotic thing. Look at the statement she says. They don't believe in, the Tea Party doesn't believe in government, science, or presidency. That's the most idiotic statement that she can make. This woman is a bona fide idiot.
No, Jeff.
And I don't understand how she's still there, except that you have a lot of idiots that are voting for her.
No. You have to understand how you get there and why I vote for you. Go ahead.
She's always googly-eyed around Obama.
But see, no. I'm talking about how she gets there. People don't understand, how do you become Speaker of the House? How do you become President of the Senate? What makes you get there? What makes you stay there?
You
and
maneuver.
It's not based on popularity. Nor is it based on respect. It's based on a lot of times out of fear.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Because if you don't vote for me, I've got enough money in my war chest, and I control the money for the caucus.
Yeah,
I will kill you.
Well, I'm not talking about other people inside the House. I'm talking about the people from the districts you represent.
Well, they think like her.
What I'm saying,
no,
I can't imagine that.
Look at Tim Ryan.
Tim Ryan's not as far right as far left as that.
No,
but,
I really don't like Tim Ryan.
But he might not be as far left. But look at him as a congressman. What does he do? He doesn't even run.
No, here he doesn't have to.
So why not?
He will in a couple years, though. I'm pretty sure.
Why not?
Well, he doesn't have to because the people here vote name recognition because they're union guys.
Why not?
They're union guys.
And
that's
so
why.
As long as he appeases a couple people in the union,
as long as
he's happy, they're happy and he's
they're
happy.
They're happy as a tick in a blanket. That's what they like.
So it's the same thing with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I can't imagine it when you're talking about the upscale type of people from her district.
What upscale? Because they got money?
Yeah, a lot of them
money,
do.
Money doesn't – liberal money.
Money doesn't necessarily –
liberal money
is
not the same as conservative money.
Oh,
and it all depends on how you got your money. If you're
– I agree.
R.C. Fufu money, then you believe in the R.C. Fufu way.
I guess you're right.
And look at her district. Her district is very R.C. Fufu.
R.C. Fufu. Yeah.
Is it not?
I hear you.
Look at her district. That's San Francisco – you know, Chef Boyardee, Artsy Fufu District. People go down the street naked with
true.
Money.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you don't think that they'll vote for someone who doesn't pass a bill until, they don't read a bill until they pass it?
What is it that people want to do things like that? Walk
like
down
what?
The street naked?
Nobody supports that.
Nobody supports what?
Nobody I know, I think that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, someone telling you something that you have to sign something and agree to it, then read it later.
They agree with it.
That's what they did with the
I don't
president.
Know any, I don't know anybody. I'm in the area that you speak of, okay?
Okay.
I don't know anyone that says, yes, we support her for saying that. People are
just
as apathetic.
Didn't they put it right back in?
They voted. Listen.
If they voted, look, if they didn't vote her out, they supported her.
When you look at the percentage of population that votes in these congressional elections, is probably anywhere between 35 to 45%, and that being a high figure, is probably a third of the people that can vote. People don't care. People are apathetic. Not everybody is politically inclined or oriented.
Hey, I got a question for you. Is she a congressman?
She's not. I live outside the area. I live, you know, outside of San Francisco, but I'm aware of who she is, and I know where her what her district is.
So they are artsy fufu, aren't they?
Come on. How can you describe that? You know, redneck coal miners. You can't just blanket a whole area of people and give them a simple label like that.
They're not the hotsy-totsy people.
What the hell does hotsy-totsy mean? San Francisco's very expensive. What does that mean?
Highfalutin. Hey, Brown, it means highfalutin.
All right, well.
Isn't she and Barbara Boxer and Willie Brown on the same page?
Well, Barbara Boxer.
Oh, Willie Brown. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Barbara Boxer represents the whole state, and I'm sure her and Willie Brown are tight friends. You know, we know these are politicians. They don't really stand for anything.
I met Willie Brown once.
Yeah, they don't. They
Did
don't
Jimmy
really
Flex?
No, I mean it was at a professional.
He used to be a very powerful politician out there.
Yeah, he was. What happened with that power?
He's old.
What happened with that?
And he was reasonable, though. That's what I have to say. He was a liberal, but he was a reasonable liberal.
What happened with that? What happened with him? He just fell off the face of the earth and never came back
up
again.
He's old. He's probably in his early 80s.
Yeah, but I think
he's done everything probably
that Brown changed.
He can do.
Brown. Of course, I don't know whether he was gay or not, but he didn't really push that agenda so hard to my memory. I'm not saying it didn't happen, and you know the agenda. I always went to a place. Go ahead.
No, he didn't push the agenda, but he definitely realized that that's a big part of his constituency, and he's not going to say anything. He's not going to say anything to be interpreted as anti-gay, and I don't think he's gay. Go ahead.
I thought he was, from what I remember.
I don't think he's gay. No, he had a wife, and he had a little semi-scandal because he had a younger woman on the side, and there was another woman.
Oh, okay. I knew something else was going on there. I mean, because I remember there was more than you know. He got old and decided to go sail in the sunset. I figured he had a little you know lapse of memory.
Because they expected him to be on the national stage at one time.
Yeah. Australia rescinded its same-sex marriage. I guess the tsunami won't hit them after all.
it's snowing in Cairo.
That global warming.
And
it's just breaking out all over the world.
Actually, it's climate change.
There's no climate change except what happens normally anyway. We get most of our weather from ocean currents and from sunspots. That's where your weather comes from, and your poles are going to stay frozen because they have to. They're not going to warm up, which is an absolutely freaking ridiculous thing because it has to do, like I said, with sunspot activity. And when you have low sunspot activity, the Earth cools down, and when you have high sunspot activity, it warms up. Plain and simple, you're not burning fossil fuels and changing it. Because elsewise, how in the heck could you have volcanoes used to be everywhere and active? The Earth would be burning up by now. We'd be another sun. That's foolishness, just plain foolishness.
Did you see where Greenpeace took credit?
I'll be the first to say that I know nothing about this topic. I just avoid it.
Did you see where Greenpeace took credit?
I just don't know anything.
For halfway correcting global warming now that Antarctica is down into 137 below zero. They're actually on the news. They took credit the other day on a fundraising public service message asking for more money so we can complete the job. We've won half the battle because Antarctica is now cold again.
I know, but I'm telling you, this is what's out there, Jeff.
This is what you're up to. The low-information person who doesn't know science or math believes all this nonsense.
Yeah, and the thing is we have to do more. They said that to the United States Congress about a month ago
the same foolishness. And I asked, did Al Gore's house get swallowed up yet? You know, the one where the seas will rise.
Yeah,
and it's going to.
Don't mess with the people.
I can't stand this idiot.
Why?
The rich idiot now, and because he built a 30,000 square foot house on the ocean.
What's wrong with that?
The seas are going to rise above, and he's trying to make me have to pay a lot more for electricity.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
he's got a carbon footprint bigger than 30 people.
Yeah.
Don't feel
bad. Ridiculous.
Yes,
yeah.
What in the world does he need with a 30,000 square foot home? That's almost an acre under roof.
I know that.
Yeah, that's
what's
too big.
What's wrong with that?
No.
That's too big. That's
it's
too big
for
a 20 feet of living.
Well, do we get to give his Nobel Peace Prize back?
I'm going home.
Does he get to give his Nobel Peace Prize back?
He should.
Why?
How about Obama?
We don't know what he did yet.
I didn't ever get one when he's in charge of two wars when they gave it to him.
Hey, guys. God bless you. Have a good weekend. I'll see you guys next week. Jeff, you'll be here Monday.
Hey, Monday.
Can y'all be good while I'm gone? That's all I need.
We'll try.
God please, you know, keep it airy, keep it light. We'll see you guys next week.
Man, next week. Man.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The FBI says it is a classic lone wolf case. They say Terry Lowen, who lives in Wichita, Kansas, became self-radicalized online and began talking with what he thought were extreme Muslims. And that's where he says they began to form their plans.